get around real quick and get some more paperwork that I left on the table.
Hello, do we have Robert Carey on the line? Hello?
I wonder if he came on and because we were late, he thought,
Hello?
Hi, good morning. It's Bob Carey.
Hi, Bob. We're just getting ourselves together here.
No, totally fine. Totally fine.
We had an earlier non-public meeting, and we wrapped up a little late. We'll be with you in just a couple minutes.
You know, that's what I was just thinking.
Right, there's wipes right there.
Wipes, okay.
Oh, okay.
Got a little bottle in my car.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. This guy buys the no-name brand stuff. A hole like that.
Was on the call, but I kind of lost her.
Okay. She'll come back.
Want to follow y'all better?
Okay.
They might be wanting.
Okay.
Waiting for the video camera to be set up.
Oh, Kelly.
Oh, you're going to make it.
I get the back of your head there,
yeah,
Kelly.
The back of your head. Right in front of everybody.
You've got a nice haircut, but, you know.
No, the back of my head.
Let us know when you're... Are you on?
Okay, here we go.
Okay. All right. This is just for the video camera, so... We've been in public session since 8:30 and went into non-public at 8:30 to do an employee review. We've just come out of that employee review, so now we're back in public session. So I know we have an appointment for Bob Carey. Am I pronouncing your last name right, Bob?
Yes, yes. Good morning.
Hi, this is Commissioner Jay Buckley. And we have here in the room with us Commissioner Kathy Kozel, Commissioner Paula Doyle. We have our DPW foreman, Kelly Robitel. Lynn Baker is our administrator. And we have a videographer, Carol, who is videotaping this meeting. So I guess we'll start with you. Go ahead. You get the microphone. So any questions, just go right ahead.
Great. Well, thank you again for... setting this up, it's much easier to talk than try to resolve something through emails and letters. And if I could, I'd be with you in person. So I think there's a few issues that I want to try to help figure out a solution for. The first one is the Henderson's driveway, and I know the district did a lot of work to try to remedy the situation with the water on 49 and 47 Edelweiss and the road, and put a new culvert in. As part of that process, some of the end of the driveway was cut away, and it's what the Hendersons have. They need to have some sort of fix before they to get them through the winter so a plow can get up and down and so they can have their renters get up and down. They've talked to a plow guy who's put them in touch with a paving contractor, and they're waiting to hear back from him. And I think they'd also be willing to let the district handle the short-term fix, too, until they can get the thing completely paved and done. So that's the first issue is to address is how to fix, who's going to fix and how to fix that end of the driveway that was cut away. And Kelly, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, too, or have you been out? I'm sure you've been out there.
Oh, yeah, I did the repair. We did two culverts and a catch basin.
Yep.
It's always been the understanding that the driveway was getting paved. That's what all this work was done for, so that they could get the driveway paved. I didn't see how we could do a paving repair to a driveway that was going to get repaved anyway, because it's not getting repaved, it's getting completely torn up and repaved.
Right. Right. They're going to do a lot of work on it. And I think they're trying to get quotes. I don't know whether they're going to be able to do it before with our usual fall rainy season, and I don't know if they'll be able to get it done before get it done this fall. They definitely absolutely need to get it done and plan to get it done, but they need to get a new quote. Their old Sunday Paving was going to do it, but they have a relationship with the district and the town. They thought it put them in an awkward situation, so we're having to start over again and find somebody who can give us a good quote so we can do the final work on it. And I think probably, Kelly, that probably happens in the springtime, but in the meantime, in order for that driveway to be passable, they just need some sort of short-term fix so their renters can get up and down, they can get up and down, and the plow can get up and down. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on what that fix might be. We're willing to sort of price it out and have it done, but or if you think you'd like to just do the short-term fix to get us through the wintertime, that's acceptable too.
Have you seen the driveway in person?
I have not, Kelly. I have not. I've seen pictures of it.
It's in such bad shape that a patch couldn't even apply to where the cut was made. We basically didn't have to cut very far because the majority of the driveway was already broken up and deteriorated to the point
right.
where pieces were coming out. They were coming out in chunks. To try to patch up against that is virtually impossible because their broken driveway is just going to break away whatever I put in there. It's not going to hold. I don't think even with a patch that they're going to find someone to plow the upper end of that driveway being in such bad shape. I think they got communication for this whole project has been difficult, to say the least.
Yep, it has been. It has been. There's no doubt about it. And I want to sort of keep the focus on moving forward. I don't want to go over the communication in the past, and you're right, it has not been optimum, and ideally this would have gotten done, you know, in the summertime, but we are where we are, and so their plow guy says he can plow it, is willing to plow it, but that lip, there's going to be some sort of, we need a Band-Aid to get us through the wintertime for that lip so that their renters can get back and forth and so the plow guy can get up and down. They're willing to get a quote on that, or they're willing to see, Kelly, if you got a, you know, short-term fix to it, just to deal with that lip situation. The driveway's going to go, but they need something for the short term.
The way the water is washing out down that driveway is more of a concern to the damage it's doing to the road. If you look at it in person, you can see where the water is getting through the broken-up asphalt, undermining what's left of their asphalt, and that's the washout that you see. That water's not coming over the top. That's coming underneath and under the whatever existing asphalt is still there. So if we were to even patch that, it would undermine whatever patch we put down. It's not so simple as just putting a... And honestly, we didn't take out that much asphalt. We took a lot of pictures before we did the project, and we have pictures of where the cut was made and what was there, and we're talking maybe 2 feet. And if we were going to replace 2 feet of asphalt, it's really not going to help.
Yeah, do you maybe do... You pack it with gravel or something, Kelly? Is that? I mean, I understand your point about the asphalt, and but this got it. They need something to deal with that 2 feet cut, so they can get a plow guy up there and they can get their renters up there. So
when we did the project, we put down 2 to 3 inches of 3/4 inch DOT spec gravel and compacted it. And treated it with calcium to do everything we could to get as hard a surface as we could. The finished product was very, very good. It was tactile. The 49 idolized, which we did at the same time, got the same treatment, and that is holding up perfectly. It's because of their hill and the water that's pouring down that hill that this is all occurring. No matter what I do to it, we're going to get the same outcome. And this has been what's been happening since this whole thing started. There's a lot of blame going on for where the water's coming from. Well, the water's coming down their driveway.
I think the question we have to ask is, who's responsible for this at this point in terms of getting it fixed? Because I just want to clarify that before we get into who's going to do it, because if we expect, you know, Keller to say, I can do X and X and X, and we're accepting responsibility that this is our, that we need to fix this, and I guess what we need to first establish is who's responsible for fixing it. And from what I understand, the owners of the driveway, it's now in their hands. The changes that we made on district property. So this now has to be addressed by the homeowners. Is that?
Yeah, so when the cut was made in the asphalt to replace the culverts underneath both 49 and 47, both were paved driveways. So both pavements got cut.
Mm-hmm.
And as Kelly had mentioned, the driveway at number 49 next door to the Hendersons had the same work that was done with the gravel put back in place against the asphalt and compacted.
Right.
And that's holding up fine.
Mm-hmm.
On 47, which is a much steeper drive, and whereas Kelly had mentioned that the water is coming down the driveway and sheeting onto the gravel that was put down, and obviously we see it has washed it out already. But I think there's a more interesting picture showing a gap, an air gap underneath the pavement.
I've walked by there several times. I'm familiar with it. Yeah, I guess my question is
who's responsible? So it would be the responsibility of the property owner. So the work was put back so that you could have access to the driveway, but maintaining that access, if the property in question is actually causing the erosion, that becomes a concern of the property owner on their own access. But it's also a concern of the district that we don't want to have that erosion get into our road and erode away the road. And I think that's the reason we went with the largest size culverts and the new catch basin, is to try to capture that water and also the sediment that's coming down off of that driveway. We were hoping it was going to get done this year.
Yep, I think everybody was. I think because there was work the district cut into, and it's not, as Kelly said, it's 2 feet. It looks like that on the photographs to me, too. I think that was an alteration of their property. It's not a lot of it, but it's created an issue that wasn't there before. And they do have a longer issue, a bigger issue that they've got to deal with when they deal with the driveway. But they've got something in the short term that's making their property access difficult, that is costing them rental income, and they were not going to be able to get a plow guy up there. So we're not looking for at all a new driveway from the district. We're just looking for some help to get us through to when we can get the fix done, the big fix done.
Oh, Jay, just a comment, and this may be, you know, out in left field somewhere, but if that is that solid chunk of pavement where it was cut, would it make sense just to break that up and remove it? That way you wouldn't have that edge? And they could probably have somebody come in and, you know, just bust up that chunk so the water's not going under it and you're not having that sharp lip, and have the Hendersons have a guy bust it up and throw a, you know, a, some gravel on top in that spot.
If the problem is not, I know, for us, the problem is the water.
Right,
it's going to come down. The water's going to come down, but then we're going to be in the winter, and hopefully there won't be.
But at least that
it'll
would get
freeze.
Rid of it. Would get rid
but
of that sharp
the
edge.
The problem for the winter is this sharp edge because of the plowing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And tires. So the question is, I agree. I was thinking the exact same thing, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Why don't they just dig up the edge? And dig up the asphalt that's left.
It's still going to creep. It's still going to go.
Yeah,
how high we go.
You keep moving
the
edge.
Washed away anyway.
He's all busted up. And that's
but he's going to catch the bust. The plow's going to catch the next lip because it's going to continue. What Kelly described is that the water up on the pavement
mm-hmm.
is getting into the cracks, going down underneath the pavement,
right.
and washing out
okay.
from underneath. And these pieces, these chunks, are just going to start floating away and down onto Idlewise Drive, theoretically.
But I can understand why they can't get paving done before the end.
Yeah.
This fall because it's too cold.
Yeah.
But maybe they could get it taken out.
Well, if what Kelly did at first, and I saw what you did when you did the culvert mm-hmm. replacement, is that there was no lip. There was no lip. The gravel was brought in and compacted and sat probably a half inch higher so that there was no lip. Since that time, just a couple of rainstorms have created that lip. If we do it again, if we put gravel up against that lip, it's just going to be another week or two before it's washed away again. In other words, we can't be responsible for that lip. That pavement needs to go, and it needs to be paved. That's the real long-term solution.
Agreed.
Yeah.
If they can't, just a suggestion, but if they can't get it paved and they're going to tear it up anyway, can they get it reclaimed to gravel for this season? It's not about it's not about having a gravel driveway. It's about the drainage of the driveway. If they diverted the water down the side, which was the intention, then they could survive with a gravel driveway and then pave it in the spring. No matter what I do, I guarantee you it will not satisfy. And that's I don't want to do something that's not because this is going to be an ongoing complaint, no matter what
yeah.
I do.
No, and I think well, I also think that. I'm not sure who made the comment. We've got, you know, we're in November now. I think, you know, do we have 3 more weeks of sort of wet weather before stuff freezes up a little bit and we don't have the water issue? So I don't think it's a huge chunk of time we're looking at to come up with a short-term fix. So I think a major project of ripping up all the driveway. I mean, I think you want to do that at the same time you do the bigger project, and you don't have additional erosion that you've got to pay more money to address when you put in a new driveway. So I think we're looking at how to get through the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and so that's where we are. And I agree with you, Kelly, that if this is I mean, the more it rains, the worse it gets. And unfortunately, with the weather, we can't do the whole project now. So we just got to figure out how to get through the wintertime and get to when the sort of ground and the rain frees up and it's not an issue anymore with erosion. So that's where we are.
If I were to replace the 2 foot with brand new asphalt, there's still at least 3 feet of gravel driveway below that before they get to the road. So all that's going to happen is the water is going to travel over the new asphalt, hit the gravel again, and cause the same washout that's been there since they bought the property. And that's why we put the basin, the culvert, the whole project was because of their water issue, which I kind of argued from the beginning that it wasn't our water. It was their water. They're under the contention that our water is causing problems with their property, but that's not the case. Their water is causing problems to their property.
And they want to solve it. And I also don't want their I don't want the water issue to affect the work that you guys did to try to get the culvert and get the thing solved for a long term. So I think we both got an interest in trying to get through the rainy season till when the Hendersons can get the whole project done. So maybe it's it's Kelly paving the 2 feet and paving all the way to the road, if that would sort of be a temporary fix.
Yeah, we typically don't pave right to the road. We grade the road, or we do any piling up side, we damage the asphalt. So we always leave a buffer of gravel between our ditch line and the start of the paved driveway.
Do you think that would work?
We don't pave that low, and for us, we're not going to replace pavement to the bottom that wasn't there to begin with. If she wants to, we can work that out, but we're not going to pay for pavement that wasn't there to begin with.
So if you put, but if you take it, so if we're dealing with the 2 feet of pavement, and if we were all sitting around the table, we could have a, you know, an easel and sketch this out a little bit. But if you guys pave the 2 feet and then you gravel to the end, does that get them through the winter season?
No. It just moves the problem 2 feet more down the driveway.
So what temporary fix gets them through the winter season?
I don't have one. I thought the driver was going to get repaved, and when I talked to the Sunday paving, we had a plan to fix the drainage to come down the side of the driveway into the new catch basin. And with
right.
a driveway that would stop the water from reaching the bottom of the driveway. That's not going to get done, so it sounds like we put up with it for another season, which is awful, but I can't cure this, and I can't cure it on a private property anyway. It's not up to me. If it was a road, I could fix it, but I can't go on a driveway. If it came down to it and push came to shove, and we were made to replace the 2 feet that we took out, it's not going to cure this. I guarantee.
So, I know. We both have the same interest in trying to get it fixed and not having the work that you guys did, bigger project, undermined. So, we got to try something, to make sure that your work is preserved and also make sure that, you know, my clients have access to their property. So, I don't have your experience in technical expertise, but I'm willing to try anything. I think it should be, if the district is willing to try it, great. If you want us to do it and have some guy try to figure it out, we'll do it. But I think if that's the case, then I think, and I don't think it's going to be a lot of money, but I think the district should be reimbursing the Hendersons.
I think you really have to stand on site and see what we're dealing with, because without seeing the degree of degradation that the driveway has, and there's no patching something that's broken like that. You know, it's going to be throwing money on the ground for it to wash down. And of course, I'll do what I'm told, but not a good recommendation, because it's not going to cure anything.
No. I don't think it will cure anything long term at all. I think it's just trying to get us through to the cold season.
Yeah, Bob, this is Jay Buckley. I have just the opposite type of driveway, where mine actually goes downhill and away from the road. So all things being said, if I did not maintain the entrance to my driveway, I would get water that would run down my driveway, and eventually, and it has, wash it out until I go back up and bring a few buckets full of gravel, 3/4 inch, and I lay it across the entrance of my driveway to create a berm to keep the road water from coming down
yep.
my driveway. That's my responsibility, and I realize that. And every winter when my plow comes back and forth over that berm, it's taking a little bit off each and every time. So in the springtime, I got to go and build that back up. It's homeowners' responsibility. We authorize the access from the road to private property, but it's up to the homeowner to maintain that access. So
Kelly, is there something that a private contractor could do? I mean, if the Henderson had to hire their contractor, to go in and do that? What would the recommendation be?
It'd be paved temporarily.
From the break to the edge of the...
To closer to the road.
Edge of the ditch line, yeah.
And we're going, and it will have to be addressed in the spring. If we're looking for a temporary fix until freeze-up, which will probably be 3 weeks away,
mm-hmm.
That would get them through the winter, but it's temporary, and it's going to get tore back out when the completed driveway is done.
They could have somebody come and do an asphalt patch
and
keep our fingers crossed that, or they can keep their fingers crossed that we don't have a substantial rainstorm between now and the ground freezes. So that's, we can't do that. We can't go in on private property and pave.
No, but I mean, we can, if we're responsible, we're responsible for 2 feet, but it's going to take more than 2 feet to cure this. It's going to be at least 4 feet.
Well,
double.
Yeah, but my concern is that if you go and put that 2 foot swath of pavement across, and put it right up against that lip. There's no binding there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's going to go bigger.
Yeah, that piece of that 2 foot is going to be a 2 foot iceberg, and it's going to slide down that driveway, and it's going to create a gap between the old driveway and the piece that was just laid down. I would say that just putting a few bucket loads of gravel right up against that lip right before freeze sets in is the cheapest alternative, and. You know, to be honest with you, as I just described my own driveway, that's usually just a maintenance issue that any private homeowner would have to tackle. I rake my driveway several times every year. So I'm sure everybody that has a gravel driveway does.
And that's the prudent thing to do, Jay. I agree. I think the difference is that there was a cut made as part of the work, and it was made on on the Henderson's property. So that's why. I know we're not talking about a very expensive proposition, but that's why I think that's why I'm asking either the district to do it or to reimburse the Hendersons for doing it.
Yeah,
and it may be the gravel fix, Jay, that you're recommending.
Yeah, but just to be clear, with respect to when the cut was made in the pavement and the statement made on the Henderson's property, it's actually not on the Henderson's physical property. Lot. That cut was made on district property. We allow homeowners and driveways, just to be clear, the road width in Idlewise is 40 feet wide of deeded property, unlike towns that have what is called a right-of-way. We have a 40-foot deeded swath, which is our road width. And beyond that, we have then a 10-foot right-of-way on either side. So the cut, I know Kelly measured, you took pictures, was well within our property boundaries. We do allow driveways to pave onto district property to get access to the road, depending on the condition of the driveway. Again, I'm thinking that the quickest solution and the cheapest would be to put gravel down just before the freeze, probably right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think, so I understand about the right away. I still think the work was done that impacted the Henderson's access to their property. So that's why I'm looking at the discussion either between what the district will do to help with the fix or to do it itself or to reimburse the Henderson's to have a guy pack some gravel down there. As you're describing, Jay, and I know it's not a big number we're looking at, but I do think the work is going to help them in the long run. Sure, it's going to help 49 also, but in the short term, it's hurt their access and it's hurting their wallet because they can't rent the property. They had to cancel some people for Columbus Day, and Miss Henderson's a school teacher. They don't have a lot of money, but they love it up there, and they like. And they like to try to get a little extra income out of it. So that's the situation.
I'm sorry, do they have a property manager?
I don't believe they do, Kelly.
That's who does this stuff. We have lots of property managers in Idlewise that come in and take care of these problems. They put gravel down, they rake, they blow leaves.
Yeah, and ordinarily, you'd have, like what Jay does every year, which makes sense to me. The difference is the work that was done here made an impact on their access to their property. So that
impact is less than they had before I did it. That's where I was in such bad shape. That's why they needed to fix it, because it was constantly washed out. The washout that's there now is far less than it was before. What I'd be willing to do, if it's, and if the commission is allow it, would, I would fill that with gravel. I would watch it until freeze up and fill it with gravel, and then see where it takes us. I don't have a problem doing that. It's basically two shovel fulls of gravel. If that alleviates the problem and it helps everyone out, we drive by that driveway every day. If I'm told to, I can fill the crack. Hopefully it sticks, but I can't guarantee it. But if that gets us the freeze up, and that, and they're guaranteed to pave it next year, I wouldn't have a problem doing that.
Yeah. So Bob, since the pictures you probably last saw with that lip and the undermining of the underside of the pavement, and that erosion swale that was cut by water, Kelly had gone back in and you put in, what is it, 4-inch Class C riprap?
Around the culvert pipe.
Yeah. So some additional work was done probably in the past week or two.
Yeah.
Because the water coming off the driveway was beginning to erode around the new culvert that was actually installed. Again, which is why we want to try to get the driveway paved as soon as possible. But with regards to what Kelly just suggested, putting on a few shovelfuls of gravel just before freeze-up and hoping that that holds for the winter, would that be amicable to your client?
I think it would be, Jay. Let me talk with them about it. But I think it would be, and I appreciate the I appreciate trying to, you know, have this discussion and try to solve the problem. So I will talk with them about it, definitely. And I think it will. I think it will be okay.
One statement, Paula Doyle. I'm not sure I understand the idea that they've lost rental income and people can't access the property. They actually drove over it themselves this weekend because their car was in the driveway above where this was. I live right near there. I walk by there every day. There have been cars that have been using that driveway. So I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen this. You can drive over it.
Yeah.
I think I can understand the plow issue potentially.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, if the plow is the thing, the plow is going to move the gravel too. I have a gravel driveway. I had a lot of gravel put down 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the plow comes in, pushes a little bit some of that gravel further down the driveway.
And the cut's way off to the side. There's plenty of room to drive up the driveway and avoid that section.
I mean, I just want to repeat, I think it's great and we should do this and try this, but I want to be clear that there's no, if it washes out again or if it moves, that we're not going to be maintaining this all winter.
Right.
The homeowner is responsible for maintaining their property. And, you know, they have not maintained their driveway, and that's why they're in the fix today. Not because we went in and did something. Part of the reason we're doing what we're doing is to help them fix the problem, and they were going to supposed to pave.
Yep. They have not maintained the driveway. Everybody would have liked to have had it done this summer, definitely. So, and they want to do it. I think I hear what Kelly's saying. It makes sense to me. I think you probably can't do this job till the spring, maybe you could, but I don't think you can do it right now with the weather that we've got. But they definitely are going to fix it. They definitely are going to fix it. That would be the next thing I want to talk with you about is how that permit process will work, and also get your recommendations too on something.
I think
that's fine, but this has been going on for months.
Right.
Months. This started last year.
I mean,
last
they
year.
Have not been communicating back to us in terms of next steps.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we're willing to throw some gravel on there and try this, but we need to also be clear that this is
the last time.
This is it.
They've
got to fix their driveway.
Yeah, because, Bob, the thing that
they
we're
do.
Concerned about is that we have had some serious erosion to Idlewise Drive right at the end of their driveway, and the cause was their driveway and the water coming off of it, in which we had to bring out, we had to clean the ditches of all the erosion that filled the ditches. We had to bring the grader out, put gravel down,
And so that was done. Now, with respect to the process, you talked about the driveway permit application. The last correspondence that we basically have between the office and the applicant, the Hendersons, is that we did the work of installing the catch basin and the two culverts on those two adjacent driveways in preparation for their paving. Now, I understand why they didn't get the paving done this summer. Is because that would have impeded with their rental income. They would have had to block a week out. And so that's not our problem. That's their, they should have taken that sacrifice for 1 week and gone and had the driveway done. But it's been done now since, what, early September?
Yeah.
And we were just waiting, and now we're hearing that now it needs to be wait till the springtime and that we have to go back in and do something that we thought was going to get to fix a remedy, a problem that we thought was going to get done right after we finished the work. So that's where we are.
I think, Jade, I think there was maybe some miscommunication. I think they thought, and I've looked at the email correspondence, I think they plan to do it this summer, and I don't know where the ball, you know, got dropped, but it didn't happen, and they wanted it to happen. If they could do it now, they would do it now. But they were trying to work with Sunday Paving, and who they heard was excellent. And these guys have now said, gee, we don't feel comfortable being in the middle of doing this work because we also do work for the district. So they're stuck trying to find somebody else now. I don't know if they want to get it done. That we get it done tomorrow, if they could, if the weather was good enough to do it. But they also are starting. They're almost starting over because the guy who was going to do it has said he's not going to do it now. So I don't know, Kelly, if you recommendations that we can sort of streamline this process a little bit to get everything in place. That'd be helpful. That'd be great.
I'll tell you, Bob. It's been a year, and all we were lacking for the entire year was a filled out driveway permit application, which was never done properly.
Yep.
Bits and pieces. The Hendersons relied on the paving contractor to do it, which it's not their job, it's the homeowners. Sunday Paving sent paperwork. It was wrong. Not their fault, but
yep.
It was what we were looking for. Finally, I sat down and wrote up the recommendations, pretty much handed them the permit to just turn around and send back in. We still haven't received it. That's holding the whole thing up is that driveway permit application. Even if they got a payment company tomorrow, they couldn't come in and work because we don't have an approved driveway permit.
Right.
Pretty much stopped Sunday Paving. PermaPave is another payment company. They had talked to them before Sunday Paving. I don't believe they're interested anymore. We're running out of paving companies. This was just mismanaged. I'm not trying to blame anybody, but driveway permit, it's basic. It's very simple. I gave the recommendations of what has to be done. They give it to the paving company. They get an estimate. They get the work done. It's not up to me to go there and do it tomorrow. It's a paving company. So,
no, it is a Kelly. And so I'm coming in after the fact. All I want to do is work with you guys to get this done and make sure that...
The question is, are you going to fill it? DEP will look at it if you're proposing it for storm.
Hello.
But if you're going to construct...
Hello. I'm sorry. Is it...
Liner? That's almost...
Yeah. Yeah, that's not from our end.
I guess my final recommendation is we throw some gravel in it, and they fill out a driveway permit application, and they find a paving company for next year.
Yeah, we still need the application agreeing to the condition set up by Kelly. And once that's in our hands, we'll just approve it, and they can go and have the work done. That could happen today.
Yeah. And Sunday River does do paving for private driveways within the district.
Yep.
It
was,
who does?
So. Sunday Sunday Paving, I spoke with the owner of Sunday Paving last week. He told me what happened, and he said, pretty much screw that, is what he said. He's not getting involved.
Yep.
He had a lot of runarounds. He had a lot of too much miscommunication, and he's just done with it. So
I wish they'd called me earlier, but I'm here now to try to make sure I can facilitate the process and to help make sure it gets done. So I'll make sure that the application is submitted. But I right now, for whatever reason, they don't have anybody who's willing to do the job. I don't know what they can do. So that's however it happened, that's the situation they're in right now, and I'm trying to help them with it. So if you have anybody who you recommend, if Sunday's out of the game, Perma's out of the game, then they need somebody to get it done, and they need to get it done so it doesn't undo the work that you guys did. So
yeah.
I really want to help them figure this out.
Yeah, so Bob, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we go ahead and put a couple of shovelfuls of gravel up against that pavement lip right before freeze, so that hopefully that will cause or create a smooth transition for this winter, but it's a one-time fix only.
Yep.
And we will still be awaiting the driveway application from the Hendersons. So I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
That's a temporary.
No, and I understand. I appreciate it. The other question I had is maybe I'll speak with you offline, Kelly, about paving contractors so I don't take up the board's time. They talk to their neighbor, and they've got a bill for the culvert work, and the neighbor's bill is different than theirs. Will there be an adjustment made to their bill, too?
There should be, because we need an additional pipe to make it to the basin. I think we adjusted, we did adjust 49. 40,
yep.
You know what? 47 has a longer pipe. I'm going to have to measure that because we sell it. It's by the foot.
It's based on the width of the driveway.
Yeah, so they have that extra long driveway because they have the horseshoe driveway on the right side. So it took additional pipe to do their driveway. I think we had already, I'm going to have to look at it again, but I think we had already adjusted for the basin, because it took an extra, I don't know, 5 feet to reach the basin, which I didn't charge for. But their driveway is wider than 49. 49 is very narrow.
Right. And I think 49 went from, I think you knocked $150 off for the culvert, something like that.
It
so,
was the extra to reach the basin. That was the extra pipe to reach the basin.
Yeah.
Could you send me that information? Kelly, I think it's easier if the information comes to me than if it goes to the Hendersons, just because I think I've got more familiarity with these issues.
Yeah, that's going to go through the office. I'll talk with the office. Everything goes through the office. So if you want to request that through the commissioners, which you just did, then they can have me do that.
Yep, we can do that.
Okay. Great. And then can I talk with you offline about paving contractors, too, to see if I can keep things going forward?
If you want to talk to me, that's fine. I'm not going to burn any bridges with paving contractors, so I will speak with you and give you a recommendation, and you can
Understood.
Take that. I'm not going to communicate with the Hendersons just for liability.
Understood. No, I'd appreciate if you can help steer me in the right direction.
Yep. And just a final note, I think they would have had that driveway paved, but with the money they're paying you to do this, so. But,
I don't think so. I don't charge as much as a paving contractor, so maybe not. So, but
All right.
So I think that's what I've got for now.
Okay.
I guess Donna, will you send me the information about the pricing for the piping and that kind of stuff that Kelly was talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. And then if you could also, Donna, just give me Kelly's contact information, then he and I can talk.
Yeah. We'll do it through email, so everything's got to be open and honest here, so.
Yeah.
Could you send an email to the office requesting all of that?
Yes, I can.
That'll work.
All right. Anything else, Bob?
That's it. I'll talk with them about the, I understand the gravel. I'll talk with them about that to send you confirmation, and then I'll work with them on the permit. And then hopefully with the gravel, that'll let them, you know, have the access that they need so they can rent the property and use that part of the driveway for the property. Is there anything else we need to discuss?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. And if there's anything else, I'll bring it up. But I appreciate you guys making time for me this morning, and I will be in touch.
All right. Great. Hey, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. Okay. Do we have Brad Jones on?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Does it sound like he was on? Did you see that he was
on? Yeah, no, I'm here. I don't know if he can hear me.
He is on. Okay.
I'm Brad.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, sorry I had my mute off. That was me in the background a little bit while ago. So.
All right. So you got the mic, Brad, so shoot away.
Sure. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of update you on the process. I did talk to Jake Dawson this morning. And I think the paving equipment is out there now, but it looks like they're not going to do the paving for another week until the weather warms up. You know, we're concerned about the rain today, but and that was Bryant Paving. So that was a word on that. The pumps, looks like 14 days for delivery on the pumps. And so that'll come in and that'll start to free up the process of you know, getting the mechanicals done in the pump house building. The paved trenches backing up,
Brad,
a little bit. Those, yes.
Brad, were the pumps, was that the piece that is missing, or was it the 6-inch backflow valve?
I did get a shop drawing on the 6-inch backflow valve, and we approved that a couple of days ago. So, no, I believe the pumps were the issue, and that's what's coming in and 14 days.
Okay.
Is that 14 business days or 14 days?
I don't know. I believe it's 14 days. Yep.
Okay. And is that, will that basically complete the pump house so that we could go live with the tank?
I did ask them to send me shop drawings because I wanted to go through the all the different components, and I believe once they have that, with the exception of the disconnect switch, they should be good to go, and they can still put that together, of course, without that disconnect switch, the pump pumps. So, but I think that's a discussion, you know, we're going to have with Dawson if that's, you know, what his time frame is once he gets all the pots and pieces, you know, to get that completed, so.
Okay.
So if that's done within pumps are here within 2 weeks, and I don't think the install time is going to be severe. They can do that in a day or two. Will they then be able to start connecting the service lines to those 19 properties?
Well, if the anticipation is that the pumps are coming in 2 weeks, my thought process would be start to make.
You can't.
Yeah, you have to wait till after and then do it one by one.
Yeah. And turn them on individually.
Keep both lines live as you connect each service.
The original
line.
Main and the new main.
Yeah.
Yeah. So will they be able to complete that before the end of November?
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
I think the ground's going to start to get a little hard, but we're not going to get a deep frost. We've done waterline curb stop replacements in the winter when they leak or get hit by a plow.
Okay.
Yeah. So go ahead, Brad. Do you think we could go live this fall with the tank?
Yeah, and I think when I spoke to Dawson. They said they'd like to see get another week under their belt, and then you know, so maybe prior to the next meeting, we can have a conversation with them, and then see if it looks like that's going to work for you know, because we'll have a little more window on where winter's going, if it's going to cool down, if we you know, frost and all that. But so, anyways, we you know, he hasn't made any commitment at this point. He did commit to making a decision next week. So,
okay. On that note, and I want to bring this up in front of the other commissioners as well. I think we need to actually bring Jake in and have a conversation about the work that was done on the project. In particular, there's a new water main that was installed on Reinhardt Place, coming out of the, I believe it's a 4-inch main, and then running to a new private residence that was built. So that is, in fact, a water main which the district is going to have to deal with, which we were unaware of happening. In other words, was it installed properly? What size is it? Where are the shutoff valves for that? And why did it get installed without going through the Board of Commissioners? I know you're new. Chris became aware of this probably about a month ago after it was all done.
Okay.
not blaming Chris either. It was just done by the contractor who had contracted with a private property owner, water service to that home, and it was all done prior to the homeowner providing us with a water hookup application. Now, I'm agreeable to work things out, but we need to know how that water main was installed. What size is it? There's also, as I learned on the walkthrough, further down the road on the 4-inch main across from number 5 Reinhardt Place, there's a 2-inch stub to basically connect that water pipe all the way around the Reinhardt loop. We've never made or had any discussions with creating a new water line in this this Class 6, I'll call it cul-de-sac, or loop. Mm-hmm. And we're just wondering why this happened, and is there any detriment? Our water licensed operator, Ian Hayes, was also unaware of this happening. And he is the one who will holds the responsibility for the installation of service lines and water mains, and he does not know if these were installed properly. So what we're going to have to talk about, Bob, is digging up these water mains and service line, this new service line, to see, in fact, if they were installed properly. Proper depth, sand bedding underneath, sand on top, and that type of stuff, according to our ordinance. So I think we need to have Jake in the room when that all gets discussed. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. Did you want to have him at your next meeting, or did you want to actually have a physical meeting with and have him come in?
Well, I'm thinking probably at the next meeting, because we also have Ian Hayes comes in once a month, and next meeting would be the meeting that Ian attends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was another question that was brought up by Commissioner Paula Doyle. This is, again, before your time, Bob. Two culverts that were installed, again, without authorization from the district. And the question I think Commissioner Doyle had asked is there going to be a payment made for these, and what is that?
I didn't ask the question. I think the question kept getting asked, are we going to get a bill for these?
Right,
my
bill.
Question is, one, why don't we know that?
Right.
Two, we're not going to pay for it if we didn't authorize the work.
Right.
So I know we sent them an email.
Yeah, we haven't heard.
Let's just get him in here next week and do it.
Okay.
And ask all the questions.
That's what I want to do, get a lot of this stuff answered.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Lynn, could you take a note and reach out to Jake Dawson?
Okay.
Asking him to come to next week's meeting?
Will do.
Okay.
As well as Ian. Remind
me.
9 o'clock or 9:30?
Regular 9 a.m. meeting?
We'll do that.
Do you want them to come at 9:30 or at 9?
Let's do 9:30.
Okay. And then Kelly?
need me for that one.
Okay.
Well, I want to give you a half hour to go before them.
So. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 9:30, and then Brad on the schedule to call in at 9:30 at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. I'm sorry, Brad, to interrupt us. So keep going.
Yeah. So as far as that meeting, did we want to look at his punch list items? I think he'll be done at that point. I mean, maybe after the meeting, or is that something you want to hold off on? You know, of course, he won't have the mechanicals done on the pump house, so I don't know if you want to wait until that. You know, eventually we'll have snow. It'll be a little harder to see what's going on as far as the site work, you know.
Yeah, I want to make sure the punch list that you and I and Kelly and Chris were on, we have those all cleaned up, and Kelly, you can comment on the punch list.
The roads are done.
Okay.
The only thing is this one service connection in a driveway that we were notified by a homeowner about that does have to be buried or moved because it will get hit by a plow by the private contractor, not by us. But
right.
I know there was a concern by a homeowner. I don't know if it was addressed it or not, but I did look at it, and it is sticking up right into their driveway.
Yeah, what number was that?
34.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, and I did talk to Jake regarding that. He did say, I believe he'll have that done next week, so hopefully he can walk into the meeting and let us know that that's been addressed.
Okay.
And I think that's all I had. That's kind of the update at this point. As far as a punch list, we want to look at that prior to the meeting next week, or kind of have a walkthrough, or how do you want to handle that?
Maybe wait until there's no point in going over the punch list if we're going to have to go over it again.
Right, at the meeting.
Finalize everything. I think we'll have enough on our plate with the water main issues and the culvert issues for one meeting.
Yep. All right.
Fair enough. Well, I will call in next week at, is it 9:30 still? Or?
Yep. And one other thing that I noticed, when we were going through the walkthrough at the intersection of Edelboden and Bristenstock, where we had extended the water main to come out from underneath the pavement so that we could get the pavement done, hopefully today, but obviously next week. It was pointed out that a new pit, a pressure-reducing valve pit with a vault cover, was pointed out to us just off to the side of Bristenstock. And I went back and looked at the drawings, and that's a change in its location. It was supposed to be on the other side of the street. And the reason it concerns me is because, and I have to look a little deeper, the location of that pit with the opening door that swings open, a metal door, is actually the driveway entrance of a lot that does not have a house on it yet. And I need to go into the records and see if that property actually has a driveway application that was filled out showing that that is, in fact, where the driveway is. There's a trailer parked in the driveway now.
Oh, okay.
If you were to try to plow this driveway with that vault, you're going to rip that door right off. So I don't know why it was put on that side of the street. But it was definitely a change and may inconvenience that property owner. So I just want to be able to look a little more into that, see if there is a driveway application. If it shows the driveway being exactly where the pressure-reducing valve pit is now located, we may have a problem. We may have to somehow cover that so that it can be plowed if it ever does get built on.
Maybe let Donna know the map and lot number and see if they can find the property file if there's ever been an application.
Yeah.
Do you know the property address?
I don't know the map and lot number.
Do you know the address?
I know the owner. I'll give you the owner.
Okay. And then you can look up the information. Okay.
Yep. So that's all I got, Brad. Anybody, any other commissioners or Kelly have anything for Brad? Okay.
But to be clear, the house hookups aren't getting done till the pump, till the tank's running.
Yes, yes.
The pavement's going to be down before.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's going to come in and over the new asphalt with the equipment, house hookup. That's the only concern I have is it's It's too late now, but you know, I believe he has a rubber track excavator, but
yeah, he does.
Hopefully it's frozen up enough. It's just tough to Jake not to hurt the new asphalt, I guess.
Right.
So my baby, my asphalt.
I understand. But yeah, he does have that small one. And that's probably what he'll use.
That's up to him.
Okay.
It's just unfortunate that it is.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. All right. I think we're all set, Brad.
All right. That sounds great. You have a good day, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye now.
All right. And I'm going to go right to Kelly.
Finally. All I had was about the paving being moved to next week.
Okay.
It's been a slow week. We've just been dealing with leaves and cleaning culverts. So.
Okay.
I knew that the truck's on the lift getting built as we speak. It should be here next week. Truck outfitted, ready to go.
As soon as you get confirmation from Bryant as to what day next week,
yes.
That way we can put a notice out to the public so that everybody's, you know, got as much a heads up as they can, and then I'll put we'll put another little note in there about the blowing the leaves into the dishes.
Yes.
Okay, we can do those two things for sure.
Nothing else, Kelly?
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Kelly.
Getting into boring times.
While you're still here. I wanted to try to have a better tracking of driveway applications. It's a two-step process. We have a approval for driveway construction,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a second process, which is the approval of driveway use
mm-hmm.
once the construction is completed. And we've sort of lost count of getting that second piece out.
Mm-hmm.
Driveways get constructed.
Is that
constructed.
For operations, that
was
called?
People
right.
apply for that once they're done? Do they have to fill it out, or do
well,
we do it our
yeah,
do we
yeah.
Follow?
Well, there isn't a separate. Is there a separate form?
Yeah.
Okay.
For driveway operation. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it actually should be part of the whole driveway application, so that they know once they get the work completed, they're notified. Kelly goes and inspects it, and then we
and
get
just sign,
off,
basically signing off on it.
And it goes into
but
the form.
Do they fill it out and give it to us, or
yeah.
do we fill it out?
They fill it out. He fills out the inspection of it. As approved or disapproved.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could consolidate that, because it should be the same
it
permit.
Should be the same.
And there should
yeah.
be another line where you're approving the construction, and then there should be another
section
on the same piece
of
paper
of
that is now completed.
Well, that's the compliance certificate that he does
yeah.
here. Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you fill it out when you fill out the permit.
I'll
you don't
the
have to do it on a separate process.
Right.
Yeah,
but then they have to let us know they're done so that Kelly can then go look
right.
at it, sign it, put
right.
it in the file. That's
yeah.
how they do it how Bob does it.
Yeah. But see, the property owners don't even know there's a second form they have
right.
to fill out. So if we had it added to the original form, say when completed, please notify the office, and then there'll be an area for the DPW to sign off that it was constructed and completed in the way you expected.
Right. They have no reason to follow through on it because
right.
they got their driveway.
Exactly.
They paid the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So, there's no penalty for not doing it, not that there should be.
Yeah, and there's no reference.
It's something that goes in their file.
Right, but there's no reference to it on the driveway permit application. That there's a second step. So we should maybe, I would suggest incorporating that into
yeah,
one form,
we can
one
make
piece
one
of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To try putting them together.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a time limit either.
Usually it's 1 year. We have.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but the new construction for a driveway includes a $4,000 bond.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to get that bond released, you need to have the permit for use or operation.
Oh.
So that holds up the homeowner. They say, hey, how do I get my $4,000 bond back? Well, you need to get it inspected. You didn't fill out the second part of the. So if
they
we can consolidate all that.
Yeah, they must
yeah.
be.
Oh, yeah.
Not letting it stay out
yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it cost them, what, $80, I think, for the insurance policy?
Yeah.
Well, it's not $4,000, but
it's
the policy.
Value, right.
It's the policy, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, maybe we can look at that form and see what if there's any what information's on that second form that we can somehow consolidate onto one piece of paper would make a lot more sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's no ordinance change per se. It's just we just.
Or just when you download it, it's a two-page form.
Right.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yes. Yeah, that page one and page two. Yeah.
But you'd need to know when the deadline is so you can see who's open.
Donna does have a spreadsheet in the office where you've got everybody that applies, the dates, and so.
Did get red flagged that they didn't complete.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
All right. Okay. I had put on the agenda my little notes. I wanted to talk about the water system, which we did already. 9 Reinhardt, the service line, the water main. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about it next week. 8 Idlewise Drive. Ian was scheduled to go this week, but he's going to wait.
He was scheduled to go today.
Yeah, he's going to.
He's conflicted with our paving, so he's going to move it.
The next Wednesday, he said to me. He called me back yesterday and said he'll try to get it done next Wednesday.
So it wasn't. Okay, so I mean, it made sense initially to say do it the same day that Brian's here so they can patch that cut in the road.
Well, to do it before Brian's here.
Right.
Because before, there would just be gravel.
Gravel.
Right, okay.
And they could pave it, but not the same day as.
Because then they can't get their equipment across
the
closed road. Okay. All right, so should there be a notice that Idlewise Drive is scheduled to be closed on Wednesday next week?
Yeah.
Make sure.
Closed all day?
Not all day, there will be some.
I don't even know how long it's going to take.
Okay.
They'll be installing some water lines.
They'll be cutting across, for water main.
Partial closures during the day. Yep.
So that's not a water main install. That's a service line, water service line.
It's a service line, but there's two pieces to it. Service line goes from the curb stuff onto the property into the house.
Okay.
A service link.
Service link. That's what I want. That's what I want. Okay.
Water main to the curb stuff.
Okay, so the service link is going from the opposite side of Idlewise Drive,
right, across
towards
his
property. So it's a service link, a water service link being installed.
Yeah.
Okay, at 8 Idlewise Drive. Okay, and I can just put. Now, do you have detour signs? So that if somebody wasn't familiar with the district, is there a detour up Burn and detour back around?
You generally just think arrows.
Okay.
We've only closed the road. The only time we did that was Idlewise Drive this year, and we just had someone there.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're going to be working on site, so it's not going to be like a road closed explanation. There's going to be people working there.
So somebody can go over and say, no, take a right here.
That's
what I've... And a lot of cars are coming in out of there. There's a lot of stopping and telling people. I think it'd be good to...
That's not us. That's Ian. That's not us. That's Ian.
Okay.
That's
Ian.
I mean,
I can get involved with it because I help Ian out, but normally...
Okay.
We'll take care of it.
Okay. All right. So if this, and you think it's so, Don, Lynn, can you confirm with Ian? Say, are you scheduled? Because we know things can happen. But are you scheduled to do 8 Idlewise Drive on
Wednesday,
which it will be the
November 4th.
Fourth Wednesday, November 4th.
Can I just ask that I get my confirmation from Brian first?
Okay.
He's coming in on Wednesday. I don't want Ian to set this up and say, yes, we're doing it Wednesday.
Oh,
right.
We have to reset.
Because the trucks would have to go around.
Okay, all right.
I just don't know what day they're going to say.
Okay.
I think it'll probably be sooner than that, but...
So, but we want Ian to do it before Brian, if possible.
Can you let me know?
Talk with Ian. Even if Brian doesn't do it, Dawson's capable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to repay Vital Life anyway, so I'm not worried about the patch in the world. If it comes down, it's going to follow everything up, then they're capable of patching.
Okay. Okay. So we shouldn't be trying to schedule Ian around Brian if it doesn't make sense.
Let Ian deal. If he can do it, that's up to him.
Okay.
It's up to him too.
Okay. All right. It just can't be the day that Brian's going to be showing up. Okay. All right. So, yeah, so let them know as soon as you hear back from them, and then we'll reach out to Ian to see when, and let him know. Brian will be needing Idlewise Drive open on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday next week. Okay. Does that make sense, Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And just one other thing, I'm just going to ask the two commissioners to think about this prior to our next meeting. So we're going to be inspecting a new water main that was installed up at Reinhardt to this new home on Reinhardt Place.
Mm-hmm.
I would gather it's probably about 150 feet in length. We're going to have it dug up and inspected by Ian. So just be prepared to answer the question, who pays for exposing the water line that was installed without our knowledge, and then who's going to pay Ian to inspect it when it was never applied for?
No, not the district.
Yeah.
Not the district.
I just ask you to think about that.
Okay.
Admin report.
Hmm. Linda, okay. Granite State Analytical. So we got the pH and all.
No, I don't think you need me for any of this. I just saw snow plowing on here. If there's anything he's going to do, is there a reason?
What, snow shoveling?
Snow shoveling, I'm sorry. But
yeah, Kelly's going to start snow shoveling.
No. Yeah.
So I don't mean, you, yeah.
That's not me, that's...
Okay.
Yeah, the pump houses. That's for the pump houses.
Oh, okay.
Before I go, I just want to plant a bug in you guys here. I know we brought up insurance earlier, and I know it's time to think about that. Still have some concern about insurance. Enrollment is the first week or September. I'm not going to scramble like I did last year. That was a nightmare. It was unfair. We'd have that discussion at some point.
Yeah, I think it's earlier. I think
yeah,
it's
I'm right. Sorry. That's why I'm getting curious.
So why don't we schedule something for meet next week? Earlier
well,
the better.
No, no, next week. Next week we've got, if we're going to have Dawson's here and Ian here.
Well,
and
I don't
that.
Mean for the meeting, but something outside of the meeting.
Okay, okay. So you can, we can do that. We can
yep.
do a separate meeting, but not next Thursday's commissioners.
Is it
right.
a non-call meeting?
No.
No?
Why don't we have it right now?
Yeah.
Here. What,
well, we don't. Yeah. Go ahead. So...
Ideally, this discussion would
no, okay.
Ideally, this discussion would come in conjunction with my review until January. It doesn't help me in my thought process as to how mm-hmm. to handle this. I'm trying to be fair. Besides the end of myself, I have accumulated quite a bit of I have to make. Operation and all that. I'm probably $1,500 in right now. I know I never got to get in last year. Obviously, calls. I need an MRI, which I can't. Heavily on my mind. I want to know what the new commission. Offer for you. Get this happy kids, the young medic program. I still have two kids on that, but my oldest is timed out on that. What is the new commission? How is the commission willing to help out? Last year I was. Well. I'm not going to use any bad words, but I think everyone felt my frustration last year. It's supposed to be a money-saving pause. Money saved. District, it cost me quite a bit.
Awesome. $600 you mentioned that you have part of your... Deductible? You're
going to
submit that for
yeah, we will reimburse you for that. That was part of the discussion.
$3,000 deductible.
Right, mm-hmm. So when are you going to submit?
I'm going to wait till I have everything.
Okay.
I'm not done. I still have a
that's fine,
but
I'm just wondering, I mean, you can submit it now if you want. You can submit part of it. You can submit
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
There's no...
I guess the... And that's...
That's
I understand
paperwork,
the deductibles.
But it's,
I get that.
No, I know, but we're
but
covering if, that. That's
what I'm looking
money.
For is a legitimate family plan that I can take care of my family.
Right.
Not a two-person, because I'm not a two-person family. I'm a five-person. Fortunately enough, I don't make enough money.
But if you're offered a family plan, will it? Are you only? Are you then able? Will you cover all five of your kids under that?
No.
Or are you going to keep?
No.
Can you keep the other two under?
I was
gonna,
yeah, that's a great question.
You can. They can stay with the state, because I still don't make enough money.
Okay.
Okay.
But
you're
I
interested in a family plan.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So we'll talk about it. We have to figure it out and how it affects the budget. But, yeah, you're definitely now impacted. So thank you
yeah.
for bringing that to our attention
yeah.
early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before, it, you guys were both happy with the state plan.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Copacetic.
Fantastic. It's
yeah.
unfortunately that I am eligible for
but
that.
But you're not really, I mean, you're not saddled with the $1,500 because that's reimbursable.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it.
No, we will reimburse you.
That got confusing last year.
So if the deductible is $3,000, we'll reimburse you for the first half, which is $1,500, right?
Per person.
Yeah.
The conversation we had when there was a different commissioner was, oh, no, 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 we're not going to.
Yeah, no, I think this, Kathy clarified that.
It's very muddy.
Per person, $1,500
per person.
So for you,
$1,500. It's $1,500 per person.
$1,500
for yourself. $1,500 the wife. It's $3,000 actually for my wife, $3,000 for me.
Is the total deductible.
It's the total deductible.
Yeah. For the plan.
You'll reimburse half.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go ahead and and as soon as you want to submit that $1,500 for yourself, we're happy to reimburse.
Yeah, I don't think there was
when I came and sat at the table, I said, can I have something in front of me in writing? And I said many times, stating what I have. And I never, ever got it. So I've been confused for the last year.
Yeah. Well, don't forget.
There's nobody from last year. But Donna was new and didn't really, so...
But don't forget, too, I mean, we had three iterations of the health care plan between the standard plan, the opportunity for the buyout, which was...
I'll notice it.
Right, so it was... I think there's enough... and, I mean, blame's not the right word, but it was on both sides. And then, you know, opting into the
bank. I don't think equally blame, but I'll take some of it.
The confusion
that was put onto me was I was in a panic because I missed open enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get insurance. All I could get was catastrophic insurance for my son, which basically going to be dying to get.
Right. Obama, that's what I have. I know.
Sorry, everybody, but.
I know.
It was a very panicked year for me.
We'll put in writing to you what your options are for this year. We'll do it
I appreciate that. To look around at what other towns and other people offer, and I brought it to everyone's attention last year, this is how you keep employees. I need that's why I work. Otherwise, I'd be a homo. and happy.
And you get everything for me, get everything for free.
That's right. So I appreciate that. Just look into it.
Okay. Yeah, so definitely get us those bills, because as soon as we get them, we can get those processed.
Yeah, and I know they're still coming in, so...
I haven't heard that word since, like, 1977.
Hobo?
Hobo? They don't have the training.
With a little thing on the end.
The little
thing.
Walking down one.
I think alfalfa was always
running. It'll be railroad tracks. They're going to be walking down the railroad tracks.
Now it's a shopping cart.
All right.
No.
Thank you.
We're good. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Liz.
First, never approved the agenda, and I just realized you added two things about the new water line on RINAC and then Kelly's discussion of the insurance.
So I'll make a motion to approve the agenda, which we're half, well, actually, we're only about a tenth of the way through.
Okay.
Second.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Favor, aye. Aye. Yeah.
Okay. Approve the amended agenda, or?
The amendment with the...
So the amendments were, we were going to do driveway application tracking. We did the water system report under Brad's comments. And I have one more which is coming up. That is the tax rate setting.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So did Don end up getting hold of somebody at DRA? It sounds like there was a...
Linda came over to help.
Linda from Town of
Madison
went over and trained with her.
Right, but did we ever have contact with DRA directly?
No.
I don't think so. That was Michelle.
Clark,
I don't think
we
heard anything from her.
Yeah, one other thing I wanted to track on our agendas weekly is 91A requests. I mean, there's been a lot of requests, and I just want to make sure that we're hitting the targets and we can check them off. This has been sent, that's been sent. So that we don't fall deficient?
All I had asked us to track the time that's spent on each one.
What are you doing?
I mean, are you guys keeping a spreadsheet, or are you just keeping it on a piece of paper? Like?
Just a piece of paper for now. We first have all of that back in one paper.
Yeah. I just don't want to be caught as a commissioner with someone coming in and saying, 5 weeks ago I asked for this and I never got it. It's like, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You know. I think we should know that the deliverables have been made to the recipients, 91A request.
Keep track of the time it's going to take to do that.
Whatever's easier.
I mean, you can just do it in your administrative, just do a weekly report. We've gotten, for example,
okay.
Adam has 37 items. I think we hear it's a four. You've gotten four done so far?
Don't do that, more than that.
Okay.
Oh, on Adam's, I think she said she has 26 left.
We've gotten 10 or 11 of them done.
Okay, good. All right. Keep going, Lynn.
I guess Granite State Analytical came back for the coliforms, E. coli, and phosphorus, I guess, is it? pH. And it passed everything. Do you want to see those?
Mm-hmm. You already sent those out, so do we have to go over stuff that we've already seen? I always feel like we I'm talking about stuff we already know.
Yeah,
I think when it comes to water quality,
I think for the public,
they know that the water is being tested
yeah.
and
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I mean,
yeah.
so
we don't
so,
have any, we don't need copies of everything.
No,
so
correct.
You
no.
send it to us, so
yeah,
people want, they know it's there.
And we put a copy in the binder, so she takes one copy and goes into the document binder. Okay.
Next is the New Hampshire Municipal Bond Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Donna was trying to find out what the amortization rate was on that, and it's the one we thought, which is 1.35%.
Yep. There was a question as to what our payment was going to be next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we did reach out.
Yeah,
so we do have confirmation of what we originally thought it was going
and
to be.
The second payment is in.
Yeah, Mark thought it was going to be $85,000, so I'm not sure where he got that mm-hmm. from, but we just got confirmation that it's.
What was that first year? 76?
Yep.
You want to read them?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. Okay.
So yep.
that's
correct.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. The approval of the minutes from the 15th and the 22nd. There were a lot of amendments to the ones on the 15th.
But we didn't approve these last week, Jay, because Kathy had not seen your changes, so I asked her to look at those this week.
Okay.
Yep.
So, are we
okay?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the 15th.
Right. So I will second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And motion to approve the minutes of October 22nd. I was not here, so I will.
So there was a couple little weird typo things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it said, first of all, there was a 3-0 vote for the first thing
yep.
that was on here.
Yeah.
I think that was for the judge.
That can't be right.
Mm-hmm. And then somewhere in here you said it was Paula Cozell, so you combined their names.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
It was on two separate
Good
lines.
Personality.
Okay, I'll find it. We'll fix those. That was the,
I
don't know which one of us it was. I'm pretty sure I found it here somewhere.
Also noted
that
one change I saw
that
didn't sound right when I said Mark
Brathman
did not attend as planned. Sounds like
he
didn't want him to attend, so I'm
going to
fix that.
Right. Reword it. Okay. And the other thing is I mentioned, I think it's item number 6 about the Dyna would transfer the funds.
After,
from the fan, but
after something was
right.
Received.
So once we receive the final bill
after
from the contractors, because there'll be a bill from EII, from ENN, from
yeah.
Just Electric.
Okay.
So she's not going to just automatically transfer. She'll transfer the funds once we receive the final bill.
Okay.
Okay.
Approve the amended or leave those for next week?
No, I can't find this thing. Oh, here it was. Under accounts payable, was the bold. Kathy made a motion to approve the payroll. Paula Cozell seconded it. So it's just me.
Okay.
I guess you both seconded.
Yeah.
Paula Cozell.
Yeah, that's a common
line.
Okay.
Funny.
Okay.
All right.
So we can approve them with those amendments.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve with those amendments.
I'll second that.
Okay.
I'm going to abstain because I was not here.
Okay.
But you made the motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll vote yes.
Yes. So 2-0.
Two,
2-0-1.
Two,
so you do 2-0-1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Donna said there is a date now for the candidate submission for the annual meeting. That's January 29th, 2021.
Yep.
So anybody that wants to be on the ballot for the 2021 annual meeting
must submit their
application by the 29th of January.
January.
Okay.
Yep.
Now that's based on the annual meeting schedule for New Hampshire town meetings, which is based on the town meeting be a week after ours is. So do we have to move everything back?
No. It's January 29th, period.
Yeah. Candidates night has nothing to do with when you're
No, not
meeting.
Candidates night. There's no.
I'm not candidates night. I'm sorry, candidates application.
Right. That's
it has
strictly
nothing to do with your town meeting schedule. It's always just January 29th without in the state.
Okay.
So we missed that. We
thought it was based on when you were having your meeting.
6 weeks back.
Yeah.
And that's,
but then
okay.
It would have been earlier. That's why I never understood that mistake that was made last year. You actually would have had an earlier date, not a later date.
No, because we moved our annual meeting out 1 week.
No, but it was still before the Madison Town meeting. This is all based on a Madison Town meeting
mm-mm.
of March.
No, I think the date is the date.
Okay.
I don't think this
Oh, no, no, I think Paul is right. We were going off of the date, and that's when Madison, yes, they were basing it off of their town meeting. I remember that.
Okay,
you
can't do that, though.
I have this thing open
yeah.
from the NHMA. All of these dates are based on a town meeting date of March, Tuesday, March 9th.
Right.
Yeah, town meeting date, Tuesday,
second
March
week,
9th.
Second Tuesday, yeah.
Our meeting date now is March, what would it be?
The 6th or 7th.
Okay.
Yeah, first Tuesday.
So
I mean,
we based
Saturday.
It off of 6 weeks before that Saturday.
So we can move this date a week later?
Well, yeah, because the Madison Town meeting begins on a Tuesday
earlier.
When they open
yeah, but
the polls.
But this is saying nothing about Madison.
Our meeting is earlier, so we should move the date for becoming candidate earlier, not later. You don't move it the other direction.
So which date are they saying is
They're saying Tuesday, March 9th is the town meeting, but they open their town meeting on Tuesday. They actually have the meeting in Madison on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but is that NHMA thing? NHMA is not giving us information based on Madison.
No, well, because Madison follows this.
Right.
So Madison follows the NHMA.
They
guys.
Fit
okay.
into that.
Almost
yeah.
every big town in New Hampshire has that Tuesday as their date. So
what
okay, they do on
Tuesday
say. Is the voting day. So they open the meeting on Tuesday, but the actual meeting's on
then
Saturday.
They adjourn,
and then
right.
they adjourn it, but they keep the meeting open.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha,
so
gotcha. So that they can
January
they just,
29th
okay.
is based on that March 2nd date. And our date is the Saturday before. I think we should leave it the
7th.
I think we should just confirm it though.
Again. 6th.
No, I know what you're saying. So NHMA picks a date, and all the towns just fall in line with
that
date.
That's what that January 29th is based on. The January 29th is not just a firm date. It's based on a certain number of days before the meeting.
Okay.
We read the law last year. Our meeting is a different date. So
if we're a week this way, we can move the 29th a week till February 1st.
Whatever. Is that supposed to be
No, you move it the other way. Our meeting is before them, so you have to move the date.
Well, this is March
2nd.
You said March 2nd, and ours is going to
no.
be March 7th, 6th or 7th.
Ours is before theirs. Theirs is March 9th.
No, what's the
their
Saturday
meeting, their actual
then?
Staff, no, their meeting is on the, like the 12th, 13th, whatever that is.
Right.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Their meeting is on the 13th.
Right.
Their meeting date, official meeting date is the 9th.
Oh, it's the 9th.
The polls open on Tuesday, right.
And our meeting date is officially the 6th.
Saturday.
Okay, so then we would move it 3 days the other way, 3 days
yeah.
earlier. So
right.
it'd be the 25th instead of the 29th.
But they always do that whole thing with the week of. That's why I got screwed up last year. I just want to make sure that it's not supposed to be earlier because that's you guys moved it the wrong direction last time.
We just took our meeting date and went back 6 Tuesdays or something.
You didn't though. You moved it.
We screwed up. I mean,
yeah,
definitely.
I don't know why, but it got screwed up. It was a week too late.
So 6 weeks before March 6th. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think it falls before January 29th, but I don't. We should just confirm that. I'll look up the login if you want me to this weekend.
But that doesn't make sense, though. Okay, theirs is March 9th, right? If ours is March 6th, then it'll be 3 days earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be March 26th or something.
What else? You
I mean, January 26th.
Right, keep going.
All right.
I don't want to belabor this, but we do need to make sure
we do it right. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Donna put something here about a date for a public hearing regarding the ordinances
yep.
that you're going to address, trash, campers, that kind of stuff. Is there a date for any kind of meeting like that?
Yeah, we had originally, we're looking at November. Where are we now?
We're the last Thursday of October.
And we need 30 days?
Mm-hmm.
One for the new campers?
If we just do public hearings.
Hearing
public hearing
anything
on the
that
ordinance?
We want to change ordinances on.
So then let's let's shoot for, and I think, Paula, you had mentioned doing it on a Saturday.
I suggested it so people could show up.
I think that'd
or
be
a Thursday night in the evening would be fine, too.
Yeah.
I think if people are going to call in the evening is usually fine for people that work during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to do a Saturday.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's, yeah.
Why don't we schedule?
We still have to sit down and figure out what we're going to present for changes.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Let's set a date and then
work backwards
on each of those and then say this one we'll put in, this one we won't.
Okay.
So let's just pick a date. Do you want
to
do seven?
Yeah, but they have to put they've got to get that ad in the paper, which should give some description as to what the changes are, proposed changes are going to be.
Yeah, you don't have to. I know when the town of Madison did that one this summer with the extra fees on the trash and all that going up, they didn't. They just put in public hearing for one was trash and the other one was for.
Right, you have to give it. Yeah, you have to have some. We can say water ordinance.
Oh yeah, you have to say which one.
Okay.
We can put on email with what we're actually proposing.
Yeah, but in the paper, the ad in the paper has to at least identify what the ordinance is that we're proposing a change to.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't want to get caught short and not be able to get that done quickly, because they'll need a couple of days to compose the ad, get it to the paper, to get it in the paper.
You want to shoot for November, excuse me, December 12th?
That'll give us time, yep.
That's a Saturday.
You guys want to do Saturday, or you want to do Sunday?
Yeah.
I don't have...
I think Saturday is...
I'm just... The thing with Saturdays is, like, once you get into December and you get into ski season, people, like...
Yeah.
Don't like to use up their Saturday doing stuff.
I mean, I'm good with a Thursday night.
I'm fine with a weeknight.
Yeah,
that would be
the
10th.
Yeah.
And we'll try to get to school, only because this room actually doesn't hold very many people.
Why don't we just do it by phone?
Could do that, too. I have a feeling, I don't know where the virus is going, but we may have to do it by Zoom anyhow.
Yeah.
So, and think about the annual meeting as well. We may be by Zoom.
Just follow what Madison's doing, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. So December 10th will be the public hearing.
7 o'clock.
Ordinance changes and updates.
7 o'clock, good.
Yep.
7 p.m.
Do we do Zoom, or are we just going to do our dial-in?
Well, I think
Zoom
if we can still have physical presence and we have the capacity. Mm-hmm. We'll accommodate, but we'll also open up the conference calls we do with our meetings every Thursday.
Okay,
so
do the same thing.
Yeah.
So the same thing we're doing now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so, Carol, could you jot that date down?
Yeah, December 10th at 7.
7 p.m.
And we don't know where, though?
We're going to try to get to school, only because of the size.
Maybe. Okay.
You mean the gym?
The gym, yeah.
We'll just do it here.
Well, we're limited by, what do we get? What's the capacity for COVID here?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do it as a dial-in.
Yeah.
We really want people coming. I'm not that comfortable if we keep going doing these meetings, to tell you the truth.
I agree with you.
I mean,
yeah.
I think I mentioned to Dawn and Lynn that I think we decided that we are going to go to Florida, so I will be calling in. I'll probably hear the next two meetings, but then I will start calling in, so I'll be giving you a little more breathing room.
I like that, breathing.
Yeah, I know. Nothing gets by you, Jay.
Kathy and I discovered that the November 26th Thursday meeting is actually Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm. Because we were posting the
meeting. We're bringing a turkey.
Yeah.
Did you want to have one earlier in the week or just cancel it that week altogether?
Well, I think we should have one.
I mean, we could do it on Tuesday if you want to do the 24th.
Yeah.
We can't, the 25th is too crazy with people traveling and families.
No, I'm fine with that. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people traveling.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't think.
Fine.
I hope not. Yeah. But I have a feeling that that's about the time frame we'll be wrapping up the Reinach project for this year.
That's fine.
Okay.
With whatever loose ends we have to get tied.
So the 24th is Tuesday, the 25th is Wednesday.
I could do a Tuesday. No, Tuesday is my trash day. Wednesday would be fine.
Wednesday the 25th.
Trash day?
Yeah.
Wednesday the
25th.
Boston. Oh, Boston. I was going to say, there's no trash here on Tuesdays.
I have to go. Right,
so we're going to do November
25th?
The Wednesday before Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
And that's for Carol also. So the 20. So we'll do the day before Thanksgiving instead. Boy, that's gonna. You know what? Well, I can call in. I was thinking if I tried to be here, but then I wouldn't be able to get home for Thanksgiving. But I mean, I wouldn't get back to Florida for Thanksgiving. But I can call into that meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
It'll be short and sweet.
Wait, are you gonna be here or are you gonna be there?
There. Well, I was wondering if I would come home for that meeting if it was gonna be like the wrap up of Reinach. I would try to come back for that one.
I think
I call in, I think that we'll be fine.
I think that it'll be a wrap up and say, okay, we closed on this, this, and this, and everything else will be next year.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Keep going, Lynn.
Next was snow shoveling. I think Kathy said she was going to contact.
Kathy's going to do it?
No, yeah. I know I reached out to Norm Garside. I found the quote that he gave us last year to do the Summit Pump House. He couldn't find his copy, and so I reached out to him, and he will get back to me. I think he said yes, but he just said, let me just look at my schedule. And
shoveling?
Yeah, shoveling in front of the pump houses. Yep.
Does he do the office, too?
No, Kelly usually does that. Yeah. He'll shovel off the stairs, or Jay or I, or whoever happens to be walking in at that moment. But he does shovel the front of the pump houses. So waiting for confirmation from Norm.
And then
okay.
Somebody from the town hall called.
Yes, Noreen Down.
Noreen or Linda, yeah. She wondered if they hadn't changed their time for the November 12th meeting. It's been on their schedule for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to know if we would be done by 11 or if they could move their meeting to like 11. So they could have theirs at 11 instead of 10.
We'll be done by 11.
Okay. Yeah, they'll move their meeting back an hour as long as they can get in there by 11.
Okay, and the seasonal water shutoffs. I think we only have two scheduled so far.
Two?
That's all she said, yep.
Back when it coming out, when is it? Is it next week?
Yeah,
I sent out the email in October, middle of October, about seasonal water shutoffs, and I put on the...
Another one should go out today. Just a reminder, if you need a seasonal water shop up, we're scheduling for next week, you have to get it, or it's going to cross you.
See, I think what's happening is,
people are non-seasonal.
No, I was at the dump last week, and I ran into a local plumber, who mentioned to me he has four scheduled in Ottawa for this week. He knows about the seasonal shutoff. I have a feeling that the homeowners are calling their plumbers, but not calling the office.
Well, Ian has to shut the water off at the curb.
Yeah.
So we had a call. A gentleman called in and said he shut off Sharon Roshar's place.
Mm-hmm.
He said I shut off theirs. I said, well, you've got a schedule with Ian to shut it off at the curb. Oh, yeah, I know. So it was kind of an odd call that he was letting us know he turned their water off in the house, but then he was...
I would send out a clarification email.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, if you're having your shut off at the curb,
mm-hmm.
you need to contact, you or your plumber need to contact the office by Monday or whatever day or by Friday. We should send that out today.
Yeah, because it's actually a little dangerous if he shut the home off at the home,
mm-hmm.
in the basement,
mm-hmm.
because if they let the house go down to freeze, whatever length of pipe comes in through the wall and is exposed, that will freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And if we haven't shut off the curb stop and that bursts,
mm-hmm.
we flood their house.
Mm-hmm. That kind of happened to Bureau.
I think a lot of people shut theirs off in their house. I used to shut mine off.
Oh, I do every time I
But do you let your house go below freezing? You probably keep your house at 45 or so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
The reason they do that is to let the house go below freezing.
Yeah. Or is that what the plumbers are talking about? They're just talking about they're doing it for people without shutting the house down.
No, I think the plumber said, he said, if we don't get to shut it off the curb stuff, you got to keep heating the house. And that's what people are trying to avoid, keeping it heated.
Why don't we just send out a reminder?
Yeah, okay.
Today.
Yeah, I can do that.
When
okay.
do you want them in by? What deadline?
When's the actual shut-off day?
Monday.
Second, I think.
Yeah, the first Monday.
I send it out this afternoon and say, water notice.
How much? They won't
urgent.
Have much time.
No, they won't.
Tell them
no,
they will tomorrow?
Oh, they have to get their submission in. That doesn't mean it's going to be shut off on the
But we're not
yes.
open. Are the office open tomorrow?
No.
No.
And Monday's the day?
Yeah.
Well, they got to get it in today. Right?
I have a feeling that that the plumbers are turning these curb stop offs at the street, which is illegal.
Mm-hmm. I caught the guy. Looking for it.
Yeah.
No. I know. I don't want to do anything wrong.
Because then we're asking people to pay. That's why.
Yeah.
So people are paying.
So they're paying a plumber. $50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cheaper to have us do it.
Exactly.
Well, they still need a plumber. They need, because if Ian goes to
a person inside the house,
they need somebody there to confirm that it's shut off.
Right.
And you're right. They don't need a plumber. He can just turn on the faucet, and if there's no water, there's no water. You don't have to blow the lines out or anything, do they?
They go in and blow the lines out, so they're there anyhow.
I would, if you can leave here, go send a note out and say we need to know by 3 in the next. If you haven't signed up for this for Monday.
Yeah. Well,
they can still do it. Ian will still do it, but then they'll get charged what Ian's charging. They're getting a little bit of a discount by just agreeing to the $50 because Ian was going to do them all in one day.
In the notice that goes out on email blast.
Well, if we can't, if it's too late, because
the
office is closed at 3.
Yeah.
What time is
so
it?
So I just, I mean.
It is what it is.
I don't think, I put it on the front of the news, on the.
Yeah, people who do this know, too.
Right.
Right.
And I thought, well, we could go look at the ones from last year
right.
and reach out to them saying, you know, it's that time of year again, but kind of late for that.
Yeah.
And some of them didn't pay. And it was an ordinance change from 2 years ago that they were going to pay $50 to turn it off and $50 to turn it back on again.
Mm-hmm.
And that some of them, a few of them paid, a few of them did not. So,
yeah. In addition with the...
So basically, that's not our responsibility.
No, and again, if anybody's watching this, if you're tampering with the curb stop valve, having your plumber do so, it's illegal.
Yeah.
It has to be our licensed water operator that's the only one authorized to touch those curb stop valves.
Okay.
Right. It's a $10,000 fine, up to.
Up to, yeah.
Talking about seasonal water shutoffs, talking about water shutoffs, so, you know, this goes back to those people who are overdue for water bills. And we usually used to do this every year, and it coincided with the seasonal water shutoffs, where Ian would then get a list of people that were now scheduled to have their water turned off and on payment.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have him go out and do it. Now, there are people who have not paid for years yet still get water. And, you know, that's becoming a concern, is that they're just enjoying the resources of the water and they haven't paid, and they're like, hey, life is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've gone through, and Donna's done an excellent job of tracking down people to get their new corrected addresses. One of them that was over $1,000 paid.
Yeah.
So that was great. That she found them and she put on her credit card. And so that one is taken care of. There's only about, I think Margaret Mullins was, do you know what happened to Margaret Mullins?
Yes. So that house burnt down.
Okay.
That's at the corner of Jungfrau and Aspen.
Correct.
Is it Aspen or? Yes, Aspen. So that house burned down.
Okay.
Yet they still have a water connection to the property.
Mm-hmm.
And we do charge for water connections even though there's not a home.
Correct.
So she's just refusing to pay.
No, is that the one? That's not the one that the town took over, though.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So she's one that we're still looking for. And then there is one that the town took over, that the town of Madison now owns. But the property owner still owes it.
Yes.
We stopped charging them, but that... The amount of money they owned up until the time that the town
took it over, yep.
They still owe it.
Yep, exactly.
Okay,
yep.
So we're trying to find those two individuals, their current addresses. Okay. And then one individual on Oak Ridge apparently was caught outside of the country at the beginning of COVID, so sending a certified letter would have been a waste of money, but I believe... That individual is now back in New Hampshire, so we'll go forward with that one as well.
I think I know which one he is. I spoke with him.
Oh, okay, so I did. Yep. Okay. So that's one that we thought we wouldn't have any luck getting to,
right.
But now I think that we should go ahead with that.
Yeah.
So water bills over $1,000 is $12,132, and she sent she sent certified letters to Came back not paid. Two came back not paid yet. So I don't know what that means. They came back that they signed them or they came back undeliverable. I'm not sure. And then the turn on, turn off of that $50 is $300 owed from those bills that we sent out.
Mm-hmm.
Already paid.
Well, next year, if any of those people have their water turned off and they want to turn back on,
we don't turn it on until they pay.
Until they pay the $50.
Yep. Yeah.
I would say if anybody on Monday is scheduled for a turn off that hasn't paid the turn on valve from April, don't turn their water off on Monday. I'm just saying that. Don't do that yet until we agree.
Right, right.
But do you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think some people are taking advantage of a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, I think what happened too is nobody ever followed up on these.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah. There's one individual that was taken to court.
Yeah.
The judgment was in favor of the district.
Yeah.
The individual went back to court and got a payment plan.
Mm-hmm.
He paid maybe $500 or $600. Still owes about $900, and then just stopped paying.
Right.
So now we found the form for the, you know, contempt of court, not payment thing. So. Unfortunately, his letter's come back undeliverable, although we still think he owns a business in the town that he lives in. So we're still trying to dig toward that. But nothing, you know, he stopped paying in 2017, and nobody followed up with any kind of correspondence with him. So we're allowing that to happen, which we shouldn't have been doing.
And yeah, that home still has water being supplied to it, right?
Good question. I don't know. I'll look if I can find out which one he is. Oh, this one right here, as a matter of fact. Not that it matters, but he still... he lives in New Bedford, Mass. His last name is Hotte.
Yep.
Okay. He's the one who stopped paying.
Built a couple houses. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we are making headway.
Okay.
Okay. That was kind of under my commissioner's report.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to go back to the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
There's only one tabled item. That was from Yuri Schurz now.
Yeah.
About the snowmobile accident.
Yep.
I guess we haven't heard anything back from the property owner at number 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not expecting to hear from him. We talked about this last week. He's expecting to hear from him.
Right, but we haven't heard anything from him either.
I don't think he's going to be back reaching back out. I don't think that was made clear to him. I don't think we said, come back to us and tell us that you got approval on that, did we?
We just said,
no.
Not only
do we need approval from that property owner, but once he did get approval, we wanted to walk this proposed trail to make sure it does not cause any drainage issues.
Noise issues.
I think somebody needs to follow back up with him.
Can
know.
We send him an
email?
Ask him if he got permission
confirmation
from the other homeowner and ask him when somebody can do a walkthrough with him.
The other thing I had thrown in here under admin report was the tax rate setting.
The tax rate setting?
Yeah.
We didn't have that.
It's new. I was talking with Donna last week. Is that Madison's getting ready to set their tax rate. And it's based on what I always have to come first. So we do our tax rate setting and all our revenues and everything, and it impacts how we set the tax rates. And this will all come up actually very shortly. Michelle's going to reach out to us, I'm sure, because we can't get a hold of us. We can't get a hold of her. So she's going to reach out to us and say, what are your revenues? So I've had Donna start looking at those revenues that we collect.
They set it. The DRA sets it.
Well, no.
Well, we have to fill out a form because it's based on what the amount of money that we need to collect from the Idlewild residents based on the annual meeting.
What is she reaching out for?
Michelle? She'll be reaching out, letting us know, okay, I need your tax.
It's due.
It's due.
You have to tell us.
And then she'll probably sit with Donna right then and there and say, okay, tell me your total estimated revenues for 2020. It's estimated. So we already know what some of our revenues are with fees that we've been charging, driveway applications, things like that. So we've been adding all those up, and then we say, okay, what else do we expect to come in between now and the end of the year? Maybe another $1,000, okay? So we just throw that. It's an estimate. That's all they need. We put those numbers in this form, and then you go bing, bing, bing. You put in your budget numbers, bing, 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 and it comes out with a tax rate. Then it also shows you what you didn't spend this year. And looking at your budget for this month, looks like we've got $194,000 left that we have not spent. So we as commissioners can then decide we want to use some of that surplus that was not spent this year to offset the tax rate.
But that surplus, some of it isn't. Most of it's going to be spent.
Right.
Exactly.
Well,
if
we don't spend it, it can go into the unassigned fund, and we could also take money from the unassigned fund and apply it to the tax rate as well. It gets voted on at the annual meeting.
Yeah, at the annual meeting. The unassigned fund is controlled by the voters.
Right.
But at the end of a year, if you have what appears to be a significant surplus, the commissioners or selectmen of a town or municipality have the authority to offset the tax rate. But to Paula's point, you have to know what your commitments are for the remaining 2 months of the year.
Right. Yeah, and more so in 3 months, October, well, now November, December, and January.
Really, the operation highway budget.
Right.
Because you don't look at the water budget.
Don't look at the water budget, right.
So it's 157 so far.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to go through here line by line.
Yeah.
Again, which we just did.
So
right now, the big unknowns right now are going to be overtime, salt, and sand.
Right.
Those are the three things that that we...
It appears that we did get a load of salt this week.
I saw a pile out there.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing, Dinah, are you on the line? Dinah?
Yes, she is.
Must be muted. Dinah?
She's not muted, but you have to mute it.
Because we budgeted for a truck, the new truck.
Yes.
We were supposed to get an interest only.
Yeah.
But we haven't gotten anything from the bank for a payment for this year.
I was going to say, I thought we already
paid
that.
Where is that in the budget? Under interest, I'm sorry.
Yep, interest only for the first year. We've paid nothing. So we haven't gotten a coupon book. We haven't gotten a letter. So if Dinah is on the line... If she could reach out, because she was, you know, pretty instrumental in that financing, so it'd just be nice to know if we're going to be expecting a payment to be made this year.
Yeah, I know she said it was going to come at the end of the year.
Okay.
So we should hold that aside. And that's all I've got for it. We just did juries. Before we go to accounts payable, do you want to do your budget report now?
I mean, the budget report was just the fact that we did the manifest for the end of October and transferred the information onto the spreadsheets so that things are sort of categorized and, you know, you get the water and then the operation separated out.
Yeah, can you explain to me the unemployment? I think it was $5,000.
The credit? So Primex, when you do your Primex insurance, it's the property liability for the district, it's workman's comp, and it's unemployment insurance.
Okay.
So all three of those things get paid under that big whopping, what do we pay, 30?
40, so actually 40s now, right?
What was the payment on that?
$42,000.
$45,105. Yeah. So of that money, they're like a nonprofit. So at the end of the year, we got a rebate. So we did get a $5,300 check back from Primex.
That was wasn't that an accumulation of years, and we decided to get it back?
Yep.
Oh, so that's what that is?
Yep. So for the last 2 years. We didn't pay any unemployment insurance. They kept kind of. Nancy didn't take the money.
Right.
She just let it roll into the next year. But with the, you know, we have $5,000 credit sitting there. Let's take it.
Yeah.
Put that in our bank account, and then next year when that bill comes due, we'll pay it.
Yeah. Okay.
So technically, I guess it's income. It probably should go into income and not be an offset to expenses.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I put it in red, just so that we would notify that. We didn't not pay our unemployment insurance. We actually got money back from the unemployment insurance portion of the Primex policy.
But we're over on liability insurance.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
A little, $118
or something. Yeah, $105,
yeah. Hmm?
$1,100. I mean, some of it's water, but... Yeah, so we could, you know, move that number off this spreadsheet.
Well, I guess for this question about do we have to do something today? I guess that's the question.
No, but I wanted to let you know that Don has been putting together the revenues for this year.
Okay.
Then one of us will sit with her and try to do an estimate of what's remaining for revenues and then come up with that number. And then that will set our tax rate. So we'll know our tax rate, and then we'll see how much money we got sitting that's unspent this year's budget. We want to use the question will be to all of us, the three of us, do we want to use any of that offset?
But how much
offset?
Time are we going to have to make that decision?
Probably a very small period of time, maybe 1 week once we get all the numbers.
All
right. But I just wanted to explain that's how it works. Or you can, as Kathy said, let it just roll back an unassigned fund balance. You can the voters can then use it for whatever other projects they see.
Yeah, I think that would be the smarter thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Us making that decision.
Yeah. Because just so I remember last year, annual meeting, we actually lowered the budget. Someone took $60,000 off the bottom line, so the tax rate's going to be lower this year, theoretically, anyhow. Okay.
And plus, we're looking at the new property valuations, too.
Yes.
So it's going to go from like $6 a thousand to around $3.
Yep.
So,
all right. So I want to jump to accounts payable.
Okay. A manifest.
You want to give me the checks and you can start reading them off?
Sure will. It's so organized. It's wonderful. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, first check is to Albany Service Center for $740.08.
Do we know what that was for? Is it the new truck or a repair?
No.
By the way, while we're talking about trucks, once the new truck comes in, I asked Kelly to give us a time frame as to when he thinks he's broken it in, verified it works fine, so that we can sell the 550.
Okay. Has that been determined? We're going
to
sell it?
That will be something that
okay.
we need to discuss.
That was, he had asked originally, or he's not asked. He had suggested maybe keeping it.
Mm. It's only going to be something that we have to repair. He says right now that he's feeling a little queasy about it.
Here we go. That was for full service to get ready for winter. Fuel filter, oil filter, Navigard oil, state inspection, change the engine oil, check front brake pads.
Wow. Tune-up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a tune-up.
Next one is for Peter LaPlante for $450. And that was the trapping of the beaver.
Ah, okay.
I'm sorry, for what?
Trapping
of the beavers.
Oh, yeah.
And the next one is Eastern Propane for $49.20. And then Francine Rowe from In Addition, that was for the printing of checks. The amount was $32. North Conway Water, $399.55.
Okay, on this one, I know there were some questions that Donna had to Ian.
I think it was the 10 Barden hookup.
Okay.
That's what I saw an email that he sent back to her.
All right, so that $399.55, that comes out of the water hookup fee?
The water line extension fund, yep.
Yep, water line extension fund.
And then Smithfield Plumbing and Heating, it was for $4.43.
Wow.
And finally is Windy Ridge Corporation. And I'm not sure what that was for.
Chains. That's usually...
Bar, keyhole, 5/8-inch bar.
Chains.
Okay, and that was for $158.34. And that is the manifest. Oh, that's a total of 7 checks in the amount of $1,833.60.
So I'll make the motion that we approve the manifest for $1,833.60.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you.
That should catch up. What's that?
Yep.
Okay. Jumping down to commissioner's reports. Let's see. I guess I'm supposed to talk about atomizer emails.
Well, then Donna told me that should be under correspondence. I think he just wanted this on the record that he's been sending emails in requesting
right.
different things.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought we drafted a response to him.
Well, we had done that non-public, so it was to be mentioned in public meeting that he was looking for reimbursement of engineering services that he... contracted with his engineer for the Little Loop project. He was also looking for reimbursement of the shingles for the volunteer mailbox project.
Didn't we send him a response to both those notes?
Well, once we got the request that it be discussed in public, she held off till she sent the responses.
Okay.
So our responses still stand.
Our response is that we're not going to reimburse him.
Correct.
For either one. And
correct.
We have a note going out to him on both of those.
Yes, that's
okay.
correct. Yep.
That'll go out this week then?
Yep. So I don't know if you want to
okay.
you know, list the amounts in the public meeting.
I thought
or
we had actually talked about it. We came out on non-public and discussed it at the end. And maybe just a
I thought we did.
Reflect that accurately.
Did he actually, I don't think he included his numbers, his
yep.
dollar value.
Yeah, they
he?
Are. Yeah, let me see the two letters there.
I wonder if for some reason when we took notes at the end of that meeting, I don't remember which meeting it was.
Okay.
I feel like we did do it in public, but
okay.
it was at the end of a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
yeah, so
we just didn't put it in the minutes for some reason. It just
no. So just for the record,
okay.
There was an email that came in on October 6th requesting reimbursement to Adam Leiser for $350, which was approximately $300 for materials and 100 miles of travel for shingles to complete the volunteer mailbox project, which was one of them. And then the second one was... That Adam had hired an engineer to do a drainage project, or to engineer the drainage project on Four Little Loop Road, at a cost of $4,858.83. Back in, there's no date on when that was done, but it said between 2015 and 2020, the property had damaged by the water, and he hired his own engineer to do an engineering plan. Okay.
Those were the amounts. I think Donna had a question on that, too, because you would put two paragraphs to be sent.
One paragraph was for one letter, which if he sent it to us in an email, sent it back in an email.
Right.
The other one was in a
letter.
Yeah, and then sent it, because he asked for it to be sent back as a mail correspondent.
Okay. That's it. And then I put you on here about the status of the RFP.
Yeah, to see
if you spoke to anybody.
Yeah, I did. So I called him actually yesterday, because one of the accounts called from one of the principals called from
Dickinson,
and he just had a couple questions. They are going to respond.
Okay,
to the proposal. There's still one question I didn't get an answer on. I sent out an email the other day. When will our books usually close? When are we ready to sort of have the audit done? Do you remember question?
Well, they came in last year in the month of December, right towards the end, right around the Christmas time frame.
Well,
the
books
I don't think they would have. I'm thinking the end of January, not the end of December.
January?
Your books aren't closed because you're...
I know.
Bills in December. You can't do your audit until you have your books closed.
Yeah, because they come in and they do, I forget what the exercise is.
A preliminary.
It's an exercise to see if your bookkeeping is consistent. They ask, you know, show me the bill for this.
He was specifically asking about the date we had asked for April 30th, and he said, we can make a date depending on when we can get in there.
Right.
So he goes, I can't commit to that date unless I know when you think you'll be able ready for the audit. When are you going to have your books ready?
Yeah. Now, they used to actually be the auditors. They used to be the auditors for the district before.
No, he said it was like 10 years ago. The person who was the partner then who handled it is no longer there.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tell him we would anticipate late January or early February.
Late January, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because we can always go back. Even if bills trickle in end of January, into February, we can always go back and those are all the journal entries.
You want to close them and you don't pay, you have to pay those in the next year.
Yeah.
You can't keep
the right. And that's the thing that when I talked to Madison, she said, oh, yeah, we voted on a set date. If the bill's not here by this month, it goes into the 2021 budget, and we can't retroactively account for it back in 2020.
Yeah, we have to do that at a certain point.
So January, you know, if the bills aren't in by February 5th, 10th.
Yeah.
I mean, given the month, because most people do billing at the end of the month. But if it's a December bill...
So they should have the bill into us by the end of January.
By the end of January.
It should be January 31st. I mean, I don't know why you would extend it.
Okay. So we can say January.
Okay.
By the end of... So that's a motion that we want to make?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have to give him...
We need to...
We don't have to do that today, I don't think.
No.
But for our own purposes,
as we get closer,
one of the biggest late submission of invoices is usually, as we discussed today, North Country Water Precinct, and that was for 10 Barden Place. That installation was done in July, so we're getting the bill now.
Right.
So, several months out.
Yeah. Well, and Ian's got to get all his December stuff to us in January.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, me, just send it to Ian a note and say, or you know, to all of our, you send him a note and say, we need all your bills.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah, even estimated.
Yeah. I mean, we still have to pay him. It's just, it's for our convenience so that we know what.
But we have to pay his bills within a certain time. He's got to get his bills in at a certain time, period. If he doesn't get them in and we give him a date, we're not going to pay him. We got to start being as firm with people there with us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is business. We got to.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to. You just can't do whatever you want and expect that we're just sitting here, you know, we have to run our books and we have to run our budget. And
yeah.
Is it fair to ask him to have his bills in within 30 days out?
I think it would be advantageous for the.
You think he'd want the money?
Yeah,
he
exactly.
Pay our
yeah.
bills pretty promptly. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we can come back to that. But those were his two questions.
Okay.
He asked me, just so you're aware of the conversation, he first asked me why we were doing it.
Uh-huh.
So what I told him was that we felt we needed to do due diligence, that we'd been with the same firm for 8 or 9 years, and
mm-hmm.
we just felt it was time for us to make sure we were getting the best value and the best product for the district.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought that was...
Yeah.
He asked me specifically, he mentioned the date and asked me when our books closed, and then he asked me, what was the other question that somebody, Donna, responded to? Oh, he asked if we ran our payroll off of QuickBooks, which I told him we do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I sent you guys, I sent Thomas a question. There was one other question that Donna was able to answer. So, anyway, it's good. So he's going to be able to get us a response. I'll send him a note today just with the date. What have I missed? A lot of questions. Oh, the 535. He wanted to know if the auditors had
yes.
And they do.
They do.
Yeah.
They submit it to DRA.
Yeah,
DRA.
I know.
Yeah.
So he expected that was yes, but he just wanted me to confirm that.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting to see. With the
yeah, he was very aware of what we are paying now.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned that to me. And he didn't have a comment. He goes, it looks like you paid like, and I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Kathy, you already talked about the status of the overdue invoices.
Mm-hmm.
Trustee of the trust funds, I saw some emails going
yeah, so before. So I believe that Kathleen Moore
yep.
from Addison was going through our meeting minutes from last year and the year before and just had some questions. One of them was the $42,000,
yep.
but she, I guess, saw the fact that, yes, we did reimburse the Water System Capital Reserve Fund with
right.
that $42,000 that was kind of the double dip from 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yep.
So that's okay. She'd question, it's always been on the warrant that with the Waterline Extension Expendable Trust Fund, which is the money that we manage,
yep.
whether, we're even supposed to manage it, should it be with the trustees. I've never gotten clarification from anybody on that yet, so it's been just left with us, as it has been in the past. But also, on the warrant, there was language on there that the voters had to approve us spending that with up to a limit of $50,000.
Correct.
And she was questioning that. She's saying, oh, well, she wondered why $50,000 wasn't being taken out of a capital reserve and put into our operating budget, but that's not what that's for. That's just approval that we can spend up to that amount of money.
Right.
Why we're doing it for that fund and not the others, I don't know, but that's just what it was always been on the warrant.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we should even put it on the warrant this year because it seems to be irrelevant. And I don't know if, because you've been involved with this annual meeting thing going back multiple years to explain that to her, that
right.
it's not a fixed amount. It's that the voters are giving us the authority to spend up to that amount through
right.
the expendable trust fund.
That's what it basically is an expendable trust fund, one in which the commissioners can expend from, whereas the other trust funds are at the governance of the voting public.
Yes and no. I mean, if
yeah.
we've got a... If we had an issue with the tank, we are the
yeah,
agents to expend,
yeah.
so we could take money from the water tank
right.
capital reserve fund and spend it,
right.
as long as it's for that purpose.
Right.
So I just thought that was kind of a redundant warrant article, and I reached out both to NHMA and to Michelle for clarification on why that this chunk of money is being handled differently than our other trust funds.
Yeah.
And part of it is it's funded by fees, not by taxes.
Right.
That may be the difference in why it's treated differently, because it's not funded by property taxes.
Right. Yeah.
Funded by the $8,000 hookup
right,
fee.
Right.
Which we've got almost $40,000. We have $40,000 in
right.
that account right now.
I know.
So.
It's a good question. I don't know how to resolve it. But the purpose, the intent,
mm-hmm.
is to have that fund available for the commissioners to expend when necessary.
Right.
Under the
I think it's an interesting thing about for the budgeting next year as we look at. I think it's going to go up a lot next year too.
Yeah. And I think we should use it. I mean, if the money's there,
right,
we should be spending it.
Yeah.
It's not. It's really not. It's not a
emergency fund. Like what?
It's not though. It's to extend the water line. It's not to fix breaks or do repair.
Right.
It's a water line
extension.
So, like on Burn Drive, that house on the corner, there's no water line in front of this house. He's got to go across Idlewise Drive.
Okay.
So maybe that's an Ian thing to say, look, you know, we got 50 grand in this account.
Right.
Maybe, so look at the district. Where could extending the water line and either getting rid of a bleeder or connecting two ends or I don't know if you could do it to replace, I don't know if it would be really to replace water lines that are susceptible to leaks, if that's a proper use of those funds.
Well, we also use it to repair. So.
Well, we use it not to repair, but to connect.
Yeah.
So if there's a new connection, the cost to connect to the
water main,
main from the curb stop valve is out of that fund.
Yeah.
Right. So we always have to have some money in there for that.
Right.
So anyway, so just food for thought that there's a substantial amount of money in that account now, and just sitting there. So okay. So anyway, I don't know if. Do we need to draft an explanation to her as to why that warrant article has been on the
warrant every year for the past, as far as I can recall, 30 years?
Has it been 30 years?
Yeah,
at least
since I've been going to annual meetings. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's just an approval that the commissioners can spend up to that amount. It's not an amount.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I will do that. I'll work with Donna. We'll send a response to her because she's questioning that. Okay.
All right.
Water line expendable trust fund.
Do you have anything else on the commissioner's reports, Kathy?
I don't think so. No. Nope. And the budget, we just talked about that a little bit. So,
So, I have a question, I guess.
Yep.
So, can we talk about Kelly with the health trust? Who handles that? Do you do that, Jay? Who's handling health insurance?
There is an authorized. It was.
I think Adam
was the authorized before.
We need to get this information together, and we should get it to him.
We have it. We have the information. Yep.
For the group plan, for a family plan.
You're going away. Do you want me to?
I'll be here for probably 2 weeks.
Okay.
So.
We might just want to invite Peter
Chapel
in, and then go over that with us in the next 2 weeks. While you're here.
Okay.
And then
I got to tell you, I think we should do it this week. Why do we say men? Can't somebody just get the information from how much is the plan?
We have that.
Oh, we do.
We have all that.
Let's put it together on a piece of paper and give it to Kelly. Why
The whole situation is if we offer Kelly a family plan,
mm-hmm.
which we did, but he paid the difference between the two-person and the family plan.
Right.
Yeah.
So last year, and I kind of take exception to him saying that he missed out on open enrollment and all that, because that really wasn't exactly the case. At first he said he was going to opt out of it.
Yeah.
He said, I'll take the $10,000. So he had. Then he said, no, I don't want that. I want the family plan, and he would pay the difference. And then we did that for 3 weeks. Then he said, no, now I don't want to do that.
That's how I want it all on one piece of paper for him. Here's your two options. You're going with the two-person plan. If we offer him the family plan, that impact Jeff at all?
Yes, we have to offer Jeff the family plan.
Yeah, you have to offer
both.
But
Jeff can turn it down.
Yes, but what if he doesn't?
Right.
Well, he would have the same option. He would pay the difference.
Yes.
Kelly's not looking for paying the difference. He doesn't want
to. Why don't we have to talk to Peter Chappell about him?
I don't think there's any.
What was there to talk to him about?
He would be able to explain any questions that might be asked with respect to the co-pays. We know what the co-pays are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already decided we're going to pay up.
No, that's copay is different than deductible. We're paying
deductible,
not the copay.
Okay. But there may be copay changes that I haven't seen that yet. I saw the premium charges, but I haven't seen the copay.
Yeah, I mean, the copays are $5. You know, they went from three to five.
I'd be happy to put together a summary sheet of what the options are.
It's on one piece of paper. It's already done. It shows here's the plan with a $1,500 deductible and with a $3,000 deductible. So we moved to the $3,000 deductible plan because it was substantially less money.
Did I have that in my email?
Yes.
Is it something that Kelly can understand?
Yes.
We should hand them that piece of paper?
Yeah.
And they can pick.
But, what are we willing to pay? That's what he wants to know.
Can we have agreement that we're not going to be offering either employee or any employee a buyout? That was a mess last year.
I mean, it would have worked if it was. I mean, it worked. So.
Yeah, but I want our employees to be insured.
I think they either take the insurance or they don't take the insurance. I just think it becomes another.
Yeah, I want them to be insured. You never know what's going to
happen.
Well,
what some people do, they look. I can go into my wife's plan, so I'm going to save the district $20,000. So if you
but then
give
they
me,
don't, you don't get any. I mean,
but,
yeah.
So.
I think, just from what I remember hearing at the annual meeting last year, and thank God there was no vote taken on everything. I think most people. I shouldn't say this, but my impression of the conversation tended to be in support of making sure they are well covered.
Yes.
So what I would like to do is have that piece of paper in front of us next Thursday. We have a discussion around it, agree what we're going to offer, summarize that on a one page for Jeff and Kelly, hand it to them next week and say, here's your choice of plans. Here's your opt-in date.
Yeah.
Sign this.
Yeah.
Check which box you want.
Yeah.
Sign it and get it back to us by December 1st or something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have like a plan.
Mm-hmm. But don't forget, the annual meeting before, there was a lot of pushback. Oh, what do you mean? You're paying 100% of their health care. You're paying their deductible.
There was some of that.
So don't let one meeting sway our decision.
No, but my feeling is like, let's next Thursday, all of us, the three
yeah.
of us, agree on what we want to offer them. Have a one page that they can understand, that they can sign, give them a deadline, and then we're done. I think it's pretty straightforward. I just want to make it all very, like, resolve his issue about it was not clear. So we hand it to him, say, here it is. Do you have any questions? If you have any questions, come back a week from now.
Mm-hmm.
Or send us your questions in an email so we can address them.
Yeah. And don't forget, too, Jay, that at the beginning of this year, that because of the insurance issues, we gave Kelly a pretty nice raise.
Yes.
To help compensate for his oldest child not being covered. So he's been somewhat, not completely, but there's been some compensation that we agreed on to help him with that situation. So it's not like we, you know, completely ignored his concerns or his financial situation.
He didn't even understand sitting here just now what he's getting back in terms of the deductible.
Right.
Because he still didn't have it in writing. I want to put it in writing to him next, a week from now.
Right.
Hand it to him with a line for signature and a date.
Mm-hmm.
And a deadline, and say, here's your option, sign this.
Okay, so I guess what we have to decide is we're still going to opt for the three choices within the $3,000 deductible plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
What if the three are either individual,
two person,
plus spouse, or family?
Yes. But they're under the $3,000 deductible plan. The $1,000 deductible plan was substantially more
money.
Well,
I'm willing to put together this thing for Kelly to sign. How about if I draft that? I'll bring it to the meeting next week. We can go through it, and then. That'll be my doing. I feel like I need something to do.
Okay. Yeah. So we're gonna stick with the $3,000 deductible group of options.
Okay.
And they can choose single, two person, or family. The difference between and you know, and Kelly's argument was, well, Madison pays for the family plan, 100%. No, they pay for the family plan, and the employee pays 5%. I think, Madison they do
5%.
Toward the family plan, or toward the plan period, regardless of which one they choose.
Yeah.
And we said, well, we're not making you pay 5%, and we're paying your deductible.
Right.
Now, we can say we can change it to the entire $3,000, I mean, or the stay with 50% of...
Let me look at the clock.
Yeah, let's
have
Paul put the
I'll put the sheet
together
because it's... And then I just think... Because I think that gives him plenty of time. But my feeling is November 1 is open enrollment through the end of the year, right?
Yep.
Let's give him 4 weeks to figure it out. I want to give him enough time to sort of go home
and digest it all.
Give him a week to two to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Any concerns? It's all public record.
Yep.
And then he decides and say, "Here's your deadline." I mean, that's how it works in most places, right? You're given a deadline to enroll.
Yep.
He enrolls. I don't know if there already is an enroll. Is there anything? See, he said last year I didn't sign anything. You know, so we'll give him something to sign. I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to drag it out, though.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just to end, I wrote a letter to the homeowner at number 9, Reinhardt, this we can discuss and to release this after next week's meeting, if anybody's read that. Then I also had a letter.
Now, did you send that to Knudsen, Peter Knudsen?
Yes.
Did you send that to us?
I did last night.
Oh, I saw that. I'm not sure I... I'm the best first to comment on it. I'll
I basically quoted the water ordinance with respect to service line connection.
Are we asking him for anything?
Not right now. I just put this together. I didn't know how far the discussion would get today, but since we're going to talk about it next week with Ian, Ian has to go and inspect that line. Ian had said to me he wanted it dug up so he can inspect it. So this letter would be, and again, the application is between the property owner and the office or the district. That's us. So we have to communicate with the property owner. He may have to then communicate with his contractor as to why this happened. So we'll let that take place. But our communication is with the property owner.
Okay. Because he's the one who hired the contractor to do this hookup.
Yeah.
And the contractor should have known that.
Didn't we have sent this when we approved his water application? We have approved it since, right?
We've approved the application. But the water line was already installed.
No, I know. So when we approved it, shouldn't we have sent him this at that time or not?
We should have. We didn't have all the details as
to
how it was installed. We didn't even know the curb stop valve or even if there was one. So all of this now is coming to light. So it's pretty clear that some processes were skipped.
Okay.
I also thought I sent an email regarding the invoice for Adam.
We don't need to send this because we already told him this.
Okay.
Remember in that other letter we sent him?
Yeah, we rejected his. He wanted us to waive the invoice
And we sent him a response that he replied to, but in the response we sent him, the first one, we said we gave him a date.
30 days I think it was. He was already overdue or something.
It was due upon receipt. We said, so please pay this by such and such a date, or we may file a suit in small claims court.
Okay.
We told him that already.
All right. So, so this doesn't need to go then.
Okay, so was that? Did you send that to us as well?
Yeah.
When did you? Because that was on the computer till like 9 o'clock.
It was
at
9:38.
Oh, it was. Okay, that's right. All right, I'll check today.
Medical call last night. I was up to late.
Yeah, I don't think we need to re-notify him.
Okay.
I think we made ourselves pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He responded
clear
to our note saying he doesn't agree with it, but we don't have to send him another note, I don't think.
Yeah, I saw his email where he was asking us, I've sent two emails, and it's been 2 weeks, and you guys haven't responded.
But that has nothing to do with that.
That
the
has
two,
to do with the
two completely separate
the other
things.
Thing.
Has to do with
that was the engineering bill and the shingles.
Okay.
So there's two separate things.
Yeah.
He basically said at the end of his response to us that he considered the matter closed, but that doesn't mean that it's closed to us.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
So.
And he indicated he was not going to pay it. He would vehemently oppose it.
Okay.
All right.
I don't have anything else. Does any other commissioner have any other issues they want to discuss?
No.
So, Kathy, thank you for doing the budget.
Okay.
Right.
Actually, I think
I have a question. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
So we obviously need to start working on next year's budget.
Yeah.
And is there anything, like I was going to bring it up, but I didn't with Kelly here, but like the Edelweiss paving, he's like, oh, we're going to pave Edelweiss. Especially if we do that, we're going to need a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be getting bids on that? Like, stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. He didn't go into much detail. So I've asked him. So he's already got bids. So Edelweiss Drive paving, Kelly and I talked yesterday about next year's warrants and stuff.
But, Jay, you know, just to back up for 1 second.
Yeah.
As much as we need Kelly's input on all this, I think things that we're discussing with Kelly about warrants, that should be, like, our decision.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
First, you know, I mean, we should say, look, let's bring Kelly in, and, you know, if there's his top four or five things that he wants to be on the warrant, have that done in a commissioner's meeting.
Right.
And just so that we know the detail of discussion, because if you're having all these discussions with Kelly, we're unaware of all that.
Yeah.
So I think it would streamline the process, maybe,
right,
that if we said, look, okay, do we think we're going to be able to get Edelweiss Drive paved next year? Now, the big pushback from the annual meeting last year was that, oh, no, you don't want to do it because we're going to be digging it up to do a water line extension.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not true.
Right.
So.
Well, my question is.
So that's
just the process. So say we decide, that's a warrant we want to consider.
Yeah.
And we say to him, we need a number for that. do we put out, like, you know, his, like, is it good enough for him to just call three guys and get numbers, or should an RFP be written, at least a one pager saying, here's the one thing we want you all to give us a number on, mm-hmm. so that everybody is giving you, maybe it's not a request for a proposal, it's a request for an estimate, or I don't know if there's another term, but that it's a, we do a real, it doesn't have to be a 10-page thing, a one pager on here's the project scope.
Right.
That he can hand to three companies and say,
did you bid on that?
Because I always find, like, the way these estimates are discussed, it's like, oh, no, it's shimming, it's not, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. And it's never even clear to me as a voter what they've gotten a bid on. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get the number and you do the warrant and then you find out you don't have enough money because they didn't understand what they were bidding on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think it would behoove us very soon to talk about it. Maybe we schedule on the agenda next week is what are those rough things right now, the big numbers mm-hmm. that we need, or anything over 10,000 we think we're going to need numbers on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we divvy it up and draft the project spec, or we get Kelly to give us the project mm-hmm. spec so that we can get bids.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, because then he's not answering the same questions to three different bidders.
And if people at EME say, what is this for, say, here's what they bid on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
And actually, and Chris did that with the water project. You notice that form?
Yeah.
So there was the valves, the water line, the ledge, and all. So every contractor was bidding on exactly the same level of detail.
And they're not giving us. We call it a request for an estimate. And there's a line in there that says, we understand that this is for 1 year out, and the numbers may change. We're looking, you know. There must be a way to do this.
For budgeting purposes.
It's not a formal proposal.
Every town goes through it every year this time.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good idea, though. And again, that would free up Kelly's time, too, so he's not, like I said, explaining the same
scope. Well, I just worry that it's not. I know for myself, if I need something, if I just tell three different people, I might forget something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what is mm-hmm. the length of the road that needs to be paved? Exactly.
Right.
Somebody get in their car and.
Yeah.
He said in the meeting, oh, it's 600 feet, 6,000 feet. It's,
but are you including the intersection? Is it going, you know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I
asked him yesterday. He's already on his own in talking to contractors. He believes, for example, Idlewise Drive is not going to be done in 2021, but 2022.
Okay.
That's when the bond for Oak Ridge ends.
Okay.
So we should pick up another bond.
He shouldn't decide that, though.
Well, that was sort of discussed at the annual meeting. Ron Sandstrom said, why don't you wait for the bond for Oak Ridge to end?
Maybe we should go for the money next year.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't wait. I mean,
but what was all the talk about you can't do it because of the water line? Who said that there was going to be a water line replacement done down right down at Idlewise Drive?
Right. No, I remember that discussion coming up as well.
But anyway, I think we should start to really think about what are the things we need bids on.
Yeah.
And then so we can spec those out.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to me yesterday that he's got quotes on Chicora View Drive.
That's bad.
But like, how many quotes? Who are they from? What do they spec out? Like this concerns me.
Yeah.
That I think we could be more buttoned up on. That's all.
Now we have a policy in place
mm-hmm.
As far as getting multiple quotes for mm-hmm. bids, costs of projects that are over
10.
No, it was. I know it was 20-something because we did have...
We made a motion to make it lower, to make the amount of money lower.
Yeah, and I don't think it passed.
Because
I remember the engineering quote for the Rhinite project with Jones and Beach was $23,000, and that's where, I think it was 25 is what it was set at, just so that we wouldn't have to go out to get other bids from other engineering firms. And I had advocated, being a village district where our expenses are so small, our projects are so small, we should make it $10,000.
Anyway. My feeling is, what concerns me at the annual meetings is that you get up and you go $14,000. Well, we got an estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you're not, there's always this to me, it's never clear in exactly what the estimate was for, or even if somebody explains it.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody goes, well, I think it can be done for $12,000 instead of $15,000.
Right.
So somebody amends it on the floor to $12,000 based on
nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or something that somebody else said, well, we got a bid on that 5 years ago and it was $12,000. To me, I just want it to be really buttoned up. It's like, here's the project. Here's the spec we bid out. We got three numbers back. We averaged them. Or we took the... You know what I mean? You're not accepting a bid. You're accepting a rough estimate. So, because you want them all to come in pretty close. If one comes in at 10 and one comes in at 20,
yeah, there's something wrong.
Then something's wrong there. We got to understand why were we not clear on what we're looking for.
Yeah.
So that we have a really good number, and then we can say we're really confident with the number. If we got two companies or three companies or eight companies, and they all were in this range, that's why the warrant article is this number.
Mm-hmm.
And then if somebody wants to change it on the floor, say, you can change it if that's the approved. We're going to have to change the scope of the project now.
Or not do it.
Or not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, to me, the more buttoned up we can be with how we got to our numbers,
yeah,
better off we are.
So, Jay, I mean, so I know just kind of in broad brushstrokes that one of the things you've mentioned multiple times is limb cutting and brush cutting and starting a
mm-hmm.
process through the district of cutting back the trees.
Yep.
So, and then what else were you thinking of for anything that was going to be substantial that would warrant being on a warrant article?
Well, we should do a paving project this year. Kelly suggests that Chicora View Drive.
Yes. Okay.
Total reclaim.
Yeah, that's all. It's definitely falling apart up there.
Yeah, sliding down the hill.
Yeah.
The other question I had, and I know everyone has probably driven over Boulder Road, which was chip sealed.
Which one?
Boulder Road.
Boulder Road to the dump.
Oh.
That's called Boulder
Road.
That's
not our road. Okay.
I'm like, I don't know where that is.
I know you've driven over it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So the road to the dump was chip sealed, as well as many other asphalt roads in Madison this year. And I think you've seen the results. Kelly had given us an estimate last January for a chip seal from Allstate Paving for, I think it was Idlewise Drive. It was just a number just to give us an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $16,000 to chip seal
right.
Idlewise Drive. That would seal all the cracks
mm-hmm.
and give you an aggressive wear surface. Do we want to do that? That is part of the maintenance program. If you remember the maintenance program for the paved roads, there are certain things we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Sealing the roads once they crack. Oak Ridge Road is now at the age.
Right, we talked about this last year, so I think we should sit down with him and go through all these and say, should this be done in 2021,
right.
2022, 2023? Not so much, you know, when would it ideally be done, and then when does it have to be done by? And sort
mm-hmm.
of then you have probably two different dates, right?
Right.
You can't even manage a lot of this stuff all in one year if you wanted to.
So this all falls under the umbrella called asset management.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you know the age of your roads, when they were last treated,
right.
when they were last paved.
Right.
And after so many years, your maintenance schedule says this road should be sealed,
mm-hmm.
whether it be chip seal or sand seal. And are you keeping on that schedule? Do you know what the budget is for those projects? Do you know what the length of the road is? All of those things. So I'm trying to put all that together, just from a road standpoint, so that we get that under control. And, of course, the other thing that's going to come landing in our laps hopefully soon will be all the documentation on the Reinhardt project, all the drawings, the maps, and where do we put that. The other thing, Lynn and Donna
mm-hmm.
Have noted to me that the copy of your scanner machine,
mm-hmm.
it is old,
mm-hmm.
and all the office equipment is, I don't want to say old, but it is, we got to start thinking of replacing all that
mm-hmm.
Because you do not want to have the scanner go down and then try to figure out which one should you buy. You should already know
mm-hmm.
what capabilities you should be buying if it were to go down and break today.
Right. So I think, I mean, you had a good conversation with Ron and Andrew, kind of that tech talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
so,
that was interesting, too. There was a whole email on that one.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a need to identify what we should do with the copier and the computer. And even when we, you know, kind of took over the office a year ago, both people that came in to help us, Rhonda and Libby Computer, said, you need to update.
Yeah.
Your computer's jam-packed with stuff. You need something faster, something with more memory, and it's reaching the end of its life.
Right.
So we do have $8,000 left in our
reserve for office equipment.
Yep.
The other thing that I thought might be helpful is you know, I've watched David Mobsley come in with this really nice scanner. It's not a very expensive one, but it's really very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we still get a lot of paper documents that come through the office. And it'd be nice if we could scan those and put all of this up on the cloud. Now, we also get invoices electronically as well. So we can put those on. And we need a place to store all this stuff. This all happens with that project I was looking at with
White Mountain or White Moose or whatever it was called.
That storage facility.
Nine Mile.
Yeah. And they're too big for us.
You know what, Jake, that the administration of that, I mean, it's one thing to scan 50 pages and send them to a resident.
Yeah.
But now you have to create folders. You've got to identify them. Okay, the Eversource bill from October 2020 and
yeah.
put it in folders. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Oh, I know it is.
It's a lot of work.
I mean, those shelves on those walls are ready to snap off because of the weight of all the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And where are we going to put all this paper as we just continue to keep making copies?
And one of the things that we talked about, and of course it was all a great idea, but find out exactly what we have to keep and for how long. Do we need...
we have that list.
But do we need the truck insurance policy from 1987? Do we need to keep a copy of the insurance policy for the trucks from 1987?
There's an RSA that lists all of those issues
yeah.
and how long they
But
have.
If we knew that, we could say, look, we do not have to keep all of this.
Right.
We can, you know, I bet we could get rid of half all the emails, all the, you know, pictures of a crack in a road. How long do we have to keep that?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, but a lot of it is good information historically. And that stuff is the stuff I'd like to scan, throw it on the cloud.
Okay.
No consumption of space in the office.
And you can come in and scan all you want.
Our
copier does do scanning.
Yeah.
So... But, you know,
it's little things like that try to make the office a little more efficient.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all...
But so back to my original question, though. So, I mean, what else are you seeing for warrant article?
Well,
I mean, if you think the business equipment, we should maybe put another $5,000 in the capital reserve fund, so now we'll have $13,000.
No, I think there's actually enough there.
There may be.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking of, if you go to the alt ads on the Reinhardt project schedule...
Mm-hmm.
We should seriously start looking at some of those, talking with Ian, talking with an engineer. What should we be focusing on next? I actually reached out to Chris, this is a couple months ago, and I said, what's our next grant going to be? So I was looking for a grant. He said, whoa, you just got one. I said, yeah, I like them. Let's get more. And so I was looking for that next project and then hopefully having that supported by another grant. And so he said, give it a year. Let this one be successfully completed, then you can go back to DES, and they like those people that are successful.
Yeah.
So
I think part of the successful completion will be to take advantage of the full 295.
Yeah.
So that means that there'll be work done in the spring that will come out of the capital reserve funds as was on the original application so that we can maximize that refund amount. Because I think we don't take it all, it would look like, we didn't need it.
But does that money doesn't need to be authorized by the voters, or has it already been authorized?
The spending
of the capital reserves can be done by the commissioners without approval of the voters.
We are, because we're voted as agents to expend.
To your point, there are some people that would like to know what you're going to spend it on, and they may have a comment as to why you shouldn't be doing it.
Okay.
You know.
We could tell them what we're going to spend it on.
Yeah.
I mean, those alt ads. You know, if we do the Upper Lakeview
yeah.
and put a separate PRV pit, replace the water line, and get rid of that bleeder up there.
Well, the Upper Lakeview is actually part of the original contract.
The PRV pit is, but not the water line.
The water line is not, right.
And getting rid of the bleeder. That wasn't part of that original scope.
Yeah.
So spending, I mean, the money's, it's the whole project.
Right.
It's not broken up that, okay, the capital reserves are spent on this, and the grant is spent on this. That's the way it's not structured. It's 1.249, which is the 869.4 from the warrant article, the 295 from the grant, and $85,000 out of capital reserve fund. So that's the total pool of money that we spend to complete that project. And there's going to be some left in the contingency fund.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing was funny that accountant asked me if we had any federal grants. Then apparently it changes the whole way you do your audit.
Sure.
No. Okay.
All right.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
You mentioned about cross training.
Yes.
And the other day, Donna said, well, something was part of my administrative duties. I'm not sure exactly, should I be mirroring everything she's doing? Because that would be actually cross training. Or does she have a separate set of responsibilities and I'll have a separate set?
I think as a focus, you'll have probably your set duties. But you'll have to, I truly believe in cross-training.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to know how to do what the other does in all instances.
Because
I think the hard part is probably QuickBooks, because it's the most probably complex thing, all the accounting stuff. And So unless you do it, it's hard
yeah.
to learn.
Yeah,
you can say, oh, you can go to a training class. If you don't do it, you're not going
to
know.
No, all I'm doing is sitting and watching.
The only other
thought
would be if you were really cross-trained and everything, you just switch on and off, and, you know, you do the payroll 1 week and she does it the next week.
Okay.
I think you guys should have a conversation
right.
about that stuff.
I mean, this is new territory for us, too. I mean,
the other
we always
thing is, like, you know, I don't know how it gets done, but, like, when you take the minutes and you're sitting here now and you we say, oh, can you follow up and send a note to so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
So do you then go through the minutes and say, oh, I got to do these six
yeah.
things, or do you then go back with Donna, can you write a letter to so-and-so? Like, who's responsible for the follow-up things that happen in the meeting?
Yeah.
If it's the person taking the minutes, but maybe you guys should identify those things. It's
okay.
Like, and...
But I think it would be good for Lynn to know to, how to do payroll.
No, absolutely.
And, to you know, when Donna does that New Hampshire retirement, you know, submission every month, which is a probably one of the worst things that she has to do.
Yeah.
And then...
But if she shows... No, my thing is she can show you. If you don't do it yourself...
Right.
You won't learn.
Yeah, you'll never... You won't remember. How often is it done?
Once a month.
So either you guys start switching that stuff on and off, or you even have a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for January, this is who's... And you just set up a spreadsheet with, you know, flipping
yeah.
things. I don't know. I think it would be good to figure out the best way to work.
I think the other thing, too, is that Nancy had put together a binder, Office Procedures, and every month it listed what she does, you know, balancing the checkbook and submitting the forms. And because it was so overwhelming, I mean, totally overwhelming for the first 9 months of Donna being there alone, I don't think that binder got updated. But now that she's into the rhythm of it, to grab that binder and sit down and add things to it, like the lead and copper testing, you know, that
yeah.
so it doesn't come out of the blue, how do you do it, who's organizing it, you know, and maybe add a second line where it says New Hampshire retirement filing, and then under it put the website or the contact information
mm-hmm.
so that if a new person comes in, at least they have, because we had nothing. We basically had to build that from the ground up and, you know, put some of that kind of information on each of those pages. And I'm sure she's got it in a Word doc in the computer someplace, so you can just go in and edit. So when we come up to November, we know all the things that have to happen in November. And part of it's all that annual meeting stuff, so... I don't know how detailed that office procedure paperwork is. I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot there. She did do a good job, but it wasn't overly detailed.
Here's a suggestion I was thinking of. Actually, a homeowner mentioned to me, is that at the end of every month, would it be worthwhile to have Catherine Diao just go over our activity in QuickBooks for the month? In other words, so I know we've made some mistakes putting... monies or expenditures in the wrong buckets, I call them. We've had to correct those. So would it be worthwhile to have Catherine take a look at all the month's activities, all the checks that were issued and such, to make sure they're coming out of the right warrant article or the right budget or the right line item?
How would she know that
yeah.
if she doesn't manage our budget? I mean,
yeah.
she doesn't really know where stuff should come out of, would she?
I know...
Is she the one catching that stuff, or are we
no.
catching it?
No. I think what we found yesterday, what worked out really well, is instead of printing out our profit and loss
yeah.
and saying the totals look right, it balances our checkbook, so it must be right, is when we took the numbers and we put them on this form, we're like, well, wait a minute. Last month it was 34. How come it's only 800 this month?
Yeah.
Why did that go down?
Right.
And Donna would whip around and check it. Oh, wait a minute. How could that have gone up so you know by that much amount of money? So this activity, although it's very redundant, and kind of unnecessary because all you're doing is taking it. It actually gives you an ability to look at last month's total,
mm-hmm.
which when you print a profit and loss, you don't really know. You're not comparing it to last month. It's just a point in time, end
yeah.
of October. So this activity actually does point out those things. And we now are keeping track on the bottom of it, if you notice,
right.
the warrant articles.
Yeah,
which,
I saw that, yeah.
So we added that, and then we added kind of the grant the grant disbursement monies, and also income from, you know, unanticipated income.
Right. Yeah, because that was the other thing. I know we had asked the EPOA to pay $100 for the picnic table.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Rock House Mountain was supposed to pay
yep.
for the calcium.
Yep.
So we made those motions here at these meetings to go ahead and do that, but I never saw it signified either in the agenda or somewhere that we've actually received those payments. And we have. I checked yesterday
okay, yep.
that we have received those
well,
payments.
Well, what used to happen, and I guess just to solve this exact problem, was that there was two forms. One was a motion log,
yes.
and one
yes.
was a... What was
action
the other?
Log.
Action log.
Yeah.
So whenever there was a motion made to do something, there's a spreadsheet,
right.
And it has the date, the motion, when it's to be completed, and who's supposed to do it.
Right.
So, and as it gets done, we review the motion log, oh, I forgot to send this letter out. So that was a pretty helpful tool.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could take the action items and
yeah.
the motions and combine them into one.
Yeah.
And maybe...
I almost wanted to say that the agenda is getting slimmer and slimmer because things are just dropping off, but we haven't completed them yet. And so we'll all three
the
of
agenda,
us will kind
yeah.
of just forget about it.
Well, don't you build the agenda off of the prior week's agenda?
I do.
Right.
But I think what's happening maybe is that the agenda is being built on what happened this week.
I think mm-hmm.
yeah,
that that's all getting on. Maybe there's
yeah.
less
yeah.
to do.
Yeah. So I think the motion log, the motion slash action log
yeah.
which is it's on the computer somewhere. We'll probably have to start fresh
yeah.
and maybe go through the last two or three weeks meetings.
Right.
And anything, I mean, if you know that it's been completed, don't put it on.
I'll do that. Because, you know,
you
want to
do that? Okay.
Yeah,
so
Paul
had
asked the question about the contractor, are you going to send us a bill for these two culverts? You know, we don't know that yet. And we haven't gotten an answer. I just don't want that to just drop away and then all of a sudden we get a bill. Yeah.
Well, my question
but anything.
Is, no, but I mean, yeah, when you write them an email, then I keep that email active.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Now, sometimes we don't see the reply. They might just call you guys to reply. But then, you know, you go back and ask. But... I think
Did Donna send that email? Because I thought we said when you compose it, let us review it.
I thought I read it, unless she just wanted us to look at it.
So I don't know if she actually sent that. It said to Dawson's about the culvert. You know, we don't expect to be billed. I saw the email, but I don't know if
yeah.
she sent it to Dawson's or she was just sending it to us.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think it went to Dawson.
Okay,
all
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you,
yeah.
I don't know if you can check it. Or,
the only thing
yeah.
I would say this is, you know, when I first came on to the board and I said I'm not going to sit for more than 2 hours.
Yeah, you're sitting more than
but I do feel I think that just I guess it's more advice than anything else. Just, you know, I am a board member now, but I also, you know, I'm not elected and whatever, but participating. I don't think a ton of people are watching these videos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think people maybe read the minutes. Some people that are very interested, but I feel like we did spend a lot of time on stuff that. We're doing it so that we keep the public informed. And I think this is a commissioner's meeting. It's not a public meeting.
Well,
the public
it is a public meeting. It is a public meeting.
It's not
the public.
It's called commissioner's meeting.
Okay.
It is open to the public.
Yes.
It's not
meeting.
A public meeting. And my point is that we have to run. We want people to get more involved in the community. Okay. These meetings are a deterrent to keeping people involved. I can tell you that how many people have said this to me.
Mm-hmm.
The meetings are too long. They should be, you guys, Madison is meeting every other week for about an hour. Now, granted, they have a lot more staff doing a lot of the work behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
The level of detail that is being discussed in these meetings, which is a deterrent. I can't stand sitting through them, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's, and you have to get to the point where, like, are we really stating this because it's important that we need to know this, or are we stating it so public record. We make a lot of information available to the public, and we should. That's part of the responsibility. There's not because 91A, but that's there. That's why you have to do it, but we should want people. But I just feel like, you know, you guys send, you distribute a water report. Now we have to mention it in the meeting? We distributed it. If people want to know if there's water testing, they can contact the office and say, can you send me the latest water test reports? And the office can send it out. I'm going to promise you, nobody is watching these meetings to find out if the water's being tested. Nobody, if they can read the minutes, I mean, I don't think they're reading the minutes for that. They can come to them. People have the public also has a responsibility. Right? Like, for years, I didn't come to anything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to know. I didn't care to know. I didn't take the time to know. When all of a sudden I wanted to know, I took the responsibility to start showing up or to start reading the minutes or to start doing stuff. But I don't think we have to necessarily sit here and spend an hour reviewing stuff just so that it's in the public record. It's in the public record in the office. I just don't want this to be a deterrent, folks. I'm just telling you. I spoke to someone I met the other day recently, and I said, wow, it would be so great if you could get involved. And they're just like, I've seen what goes on. I don't want to be involved. You know? We got to get people involved, and I think, you know, I was going to even suggest maybe we pay the commissioners more in the future. I'm not doing it for myself because I, you know, my term ends in March, but for the budget, how are we going to get more people involved? We got to, like, so I think one is to think about how we make these meetings a little bit more streamlined and just, like, dealing with the stuff that we have to take action on. That's really all we should be discussing. I think that's my opinion. I'm just sharing my opinion. You guys can totally disagree.
I mean, I think that
and I'm just trying to say, like,
and part of it was, you know, 3 years ago the meetings were 45 minutes and it was like it just they didn't discuss anything. It was just like all it was almost like pre-planned.
It's funny, I used to go to all those meetings.
Yep.
I never complained about how long the meetings were or the level of detail what they discussed. My issue was more like I had a problem when they cut off public comment.
Mm-hmm.
I had a feeling that nothing was getting done. Now, the question is, was nothing getting done because nothing was getting discussed, or was nothing getting done because they just kept churning things?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, well, let's get some engineers to look at that. And then it'd be like,
yeah,
3 weeks later, we get them. No, we didn't get the engineer's report. Somebody
did you call
them?
Yep.
It's just like, and then they'd get the reports, and then they'd be like, oh, that's a lot of money. Like, they just didn't know how to get things.
All right, so things like the electrical report and the water usage report. We can post them on the website. Don, Lynn's getting
yeah.
comfortable doing that. So why do we even discuss them?
Well,
we can look. She can send them to us,
yeah.
and we can read them and bring up any questions or comments to Ian or to the office saying, geez, you know, does Ian have any insight onto why this happened? So you're right. Maybe going through the how much electricity we use and what the water usage is. Comparing
yeah.
this summer to last summer.
It's sometimes it's in all the correspondence. There'll be
yeah,
a list
yeah.
of 15 things, letters we received. Like you said, we got 5 notices from the NHMA about webinar seminars. You don't need to tell us that.
Okay.
We've gotten those because you forwarded all those to us.
Right.
Okay.
Do we need to publicly state this? I think we just need to, like, I don't know. I'm just telling you guys what I think.
No, I value your opinion,
result,
sure.
You can both say, no, we want to do it. That's fine.
And then Jay's been, you know, on the other side where they want every single thing discussed in public.
Yeah.
I think
so. I think you're coming at it with a more disciplined approach.
I'm just saying, if we need to take action on something, we need to have a discussion. Or if there's something that, like, we might have to take action on in the future or that's a big issue we should deal with. But, like, even when people send in a thing like, somebody dumped trash on the side of the road, and then they send in pictures, do we really need to bring that up in the meeting?
Yeah, it happens everywhere.
No, but do we have to? Is that a matter that has to be brought up at a public meeting?
No.
Okay, so you forward it to Kelly. If it's on our property, you forward it to Kelly. He decides what to do with it.
Why don't he copy us? So
no. Yes. Oh no.
No, but you don't. It doesn't have to be on the agenda. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The less it's on the agenda, the less it's in the meeting, the less it's in the minutes.
Yeah.
You know, the less detail involved. It's probably.
You know, something come up. Maybe we don't have to take action, but you're going to start working on it. Like, hey. Like Jay, something from you know more details than what comes up. We said, hey, I want you guys to be aware of this. There's nothing we have to do this week, but it's probably going to come up again in the future. Or
yeah.
mm-hmm.
It's okay to bring stuff up that I think we need to know, but I don't think we have to air every single thing. Every
yeah,
single
and then
month.
We get criticized also for not discussing the water usage report every month. We get criticized for not going over in line by line, I was told, that budget drawdown.
Okay, but we get criticized by one person.
A couple of people for different things, and it's like.
So when we do the manifest, does Madison read every single check and what the amount is?
No.
Okay, so why are we doing that?
Do they? I don't believe they do. I believe they just roll off the whole number. If you want to see the details, it's there.
So here's my question on the budget. Like when we had that meeting a couple of weeks ago, you know, it was an extra meeting. Hopefully, it wouldn't. When this comes out, we should look at this and every month and have a see if there's any questions. Is there anything outstanding that should be discussed? Do we owe the public a line by line discussion on this? If we don't think it's important, then no.
Yeah, we're all aware of the legal. We're over on illegal.
No,
yeah,
but right. But what you're just saying is this something that we should? Does the public need to see a half an hour discussion of this budget every month?
No.
And if two people think they do, that's their opinion.
Yeah.
If we don't think that, then no.
But we should post this every month. So if
And I agree to your
finance.
Point.
Yeah.
To your
the finance. Yeah.
There are individuals that have come to this meeting, telling us this is the way the meeting should be run. These are the things that should be discussed.
These are things you guys should worry about.
Should worry
we
about.
Don't worry about them. We might worry about them.
And we're a different group of people. We may worry about other things. We may
right.
be...
Right.
This may only... may not be our highest priority, is all I'm saying.
Well, and some months, well, that's why, like, when
right.
last month I said, could we go through this? We're at the end of
yep.
the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I then think, I personally felt you guys agreed. Now, you also are welcome to, you know, you're always welcome to disagree. But, so, like, yeah, we should be, I don't know. But I don't think we need to discuss, unless we think there's a problem.
But, if the, but I think we should put the water reports and the usage reports and put the budget
yeah.
On the website.
I think the water report, I mean, it's okay to know. We don't spend much time on that. We just say,
no, but somebody's tracking it. Somebody's got a big complicated spreadsheet that they're doing, comparing
yeah.
the cost of the water pumps.
But I got to tell you, if there is, I'm hoping that we are looking at it for somebody.
Yeah,
I get it open, I'm like, oh, are we over? And then if it's over, it should be brought up in the meeting. Like,
right.
Why
do we have a leak?
If there's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Or there's looks like we're.
Do we send them to a? Do we send those to Ian? Those water reports.
He can see the outputs anyhow.
Yeah.
But does it? But does he see a summarization of the month and okay, October this year compared
month?
To October of last year? He probably doesn't see that.
I think he does get them because I've discussed with him water usage before, and he says I saw that. I'm looking
okay.
to see if there's a leak.
Okay. All right. So.
As I said, to me, the motivation is to try and get people more involved
yeah.
and find more people that want to.
That's a great point. I know.
I don't think it looks like fun right now.
No, and I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of doing this. I wish there were younger people that might have an interest in doing some of this stuff.
Right.
It's not, well, it's not hard because there's no qualification.
But it feels hard. It
yeah.
feels hard when you listen to the meeting, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's like when we spend half an hour talking with the water engineers about
mm-hmm.
stuff, I'd rather say, Jay, you're the guy handling Rynoc, and
mm-hmm.
go off and have it, do the walkthrough. And you come back and say, there's three follow-ups in the walkthrough. We need to do X, X, and X.
Yeah.
Like you came back and you said, we need $1,000. I don't need to know why. I trust that you know what you're talking about, like the detail of
yeah.
it. Half the time, I don't know what you're talking about, to
yeah.
tell you the truth, and I have no problem saying that on camera.
Right.
You're talking
yeah.
about water pipes and valves. And
you just reminded me of something that's very important that I forgot.
Is it a long story? Long story or short story?
All right. So I did go to the Zoning
okay.
Board of Appeals meeting
yeah, yeah.
last
you told
week.
Us that.
You told us. You didn't tell us that we knew it. We read the
You read it.
Yeah.
Sent
yeah.
an email.
Yeah.
So here's my question to you is, first, there were two applications that
mm-hmm.
were not heard
mm-hmm.
because the chairperson recused himself for whatever
right.
reason he had involvement with
right.
them, and so there wasn't enough quorum.
Right.
So, just very quickly, that property owner on Oak Ridge went out with his engineer and they're now trying to push the house back 65
right.
feet so they don't have to come back here with the possibility of not having a quorum again.
Right.
So,
not here, but
yeah,
Madeline.
That's
right.
Oak Ridge. The other one that was in Idlewise is on number 11 Blinden, and they're looking for a waiver of setback of their
septic system
to a wetlands, which runs right down to the big pond.
Right.
Okay.
And there were big P people that showed up for that, I
think. Oh, there were? Okay, I didn't know that. But
they also didn't have a quorum.
Yes. They
recused themselves
from
both.
Yeah, those two were pushed off. So my question is, again, and I want to ask permission of this board, that this board takes a position, and I believe we are abutters to these properties. We have deeded property, not right-of-way property like most towns, and that we should have been notified of these. I would have definitely brought up to this board that the environmental concerns with that septic system waiver greatly impacts our large pea porridge pond, middle pea porridge, and little pea porridge, and I would have been opposed to it. Because there was another homeowner that did come to that meeting.
Right, that's what you said.
Yeah, and he was ready to present the fact that he had to have a special septic system designed because he's right behind that property on the same watershed, basically watershed. So why did he have to go have a special septic system designed to lessen the impact? And this one's asking for a waiver.
Uh-huh.
So I have a serious concern about the intention of having a waiver that may impact our pond. And I'd like the district and the other two commissioners to advocate that we take a stance that we would be against this and that somehow we become involved and treated as an abutter. I want to write a letter to Colleen, the secretary, before the ZBA asking why is the perception that Edelweiss is not an abutter? Why weren't we notified?
Because we are a legal abutter.
Yeah.
We own the road. Any lot going for any variance.
RSA 672:3. We're an abutter. I just don't know why we weren't. We've always been notified before. I just don't know where.
Well, ask her why. Ask her why. So that you don't need a permission from us to ask her why.
Right. I just wanted to pass it through you folks.
Okay. Nope. Ask her why we were notified.
Ask her why. Okay. Once she tells you why, if there's something we can do to try and change it, then we can take something.
Right. That's all I have. That was very important, and I didn't realize that there was that other application with the wetlands.
Right.
That really threw me for a loop. So anyhow.
All right.
I'm packing up, but we didn't ask for public comment.
Yes, is there any public comment for anyone on the phone? Hearing none, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Carol.
Yeah.
Aye. Yes.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay.
Sorry that was so long. I was just part of the reason for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Well, that legal back and forth was
a
little...
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I
loved whoever made. Oh, I was going to make the same point, but I didn't.
I said, why don't we just bust up the edge?
No, I like no Kelly's point about what they're paying you. They could have done the driveway.
Oh.
I almost said the same thing earlier, and I was like, oh, I'm not going
to say that. Yeah.
Well, thank you all for the feedback.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
And I think, you know, and Nancy used to give us a lot of those NHMA bulletins. She printed them out. She put them in the book. That's not public records. None of that stuff that's coming in as advertisements or solicitations from NHMA, that's just FYI. That you can send it to us, but it doesn't need to be printed. It doesn't need to be in our book of public.
Well, if a homeowner writes in and says, hey, I want to know about X, and you provide them that information, you don't have to put it on the agenda. Like, anything that's resolved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Like a guy called wanted to know when the sand was going to be, the homeowner sand was going to be put in the in the crate there.
Well, Scott, looking at what was addressed before. And
if somebody asked that, it's like, if you want to know that, ask Kelly and then answer the person. You don't have to come to us to answer if you can get an answer to the question.
Right. You're not making, and I think Nancy was very adamant with Donna, you know, you don't make any decisions. But that's not a decision. You know, somebody asks you when the office is open. I mean, that's the same kind of thing.
Right. You don't even have to send us a copy.
Right. And then, so the other thing, Jay, and I don't think we ever approved it per se, but that one-page document that said Edelweiss was formed in 1979,
mm-hmm.
it's a municipality, you went and edited a little bit, and do we make a motion that we can, when people inquire, whether it's a realtor or a property owner who does not know,
we should bring it up next week and we should just approve it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And I was going to add, because we had several inquiries about any...
Who was the woman who was asking if...
if they could do rentals. About short-term rentals.
Oh,
yeah,
that's gone for months and months.
Yeah.
You know.
So maybe we could add a little blurb on the bottom of that saying that, you know,
that
as a municipality, we have no ordinances.
But now you guys know that. You can just tell people.
Actually, we have no authority to be able to control rentals.
Okay, right.
And
no
the
authority.
Village
right.
district.
Okay.
There's 14.
Somebody wrote one this week. She wanted to know what improvements we were going to be making.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Like,
because, some homeowners associations, next year we're re-roofing all the buildings and you're going to get a $5,000 special assessment. That's what she was leaning toward, thinking we were an HOA. That's when you would send a letter saying, let me send this document to you with an explanation about how we function.
Oh, right, okay.
That's
just
boom, done. You
what
know,
did you say we were going to address next week?
The letter for realtors.
The difference between district and...
Kathy, it's under Kathy.
What is a district?
You can put under your...
Under my commissioner's report. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah. The state of Edelweiss, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. So you guys, on Saturday, I was walking my dog, and those people were at 47 Edelweiss. I was so curious to what was going to happen.
Oh, the rental?
And they were there with the smoke plug guy. And he pulled up, and he was parked in the horseshoe, I think. I couldn't figure out. Sometimes I'm like, that guy's either a plow guy or a paving guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to walk really slow.
And stop it, what you doing?
Does that phone off the cell?
Oh, you hang up the conference call?
Yeah, I just don't know.